The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is... The show is...
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host. Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is The show is
PFW in Progress. And Eric Scalavino.
PFW in Progress. We are live in Arizona from the team hotel. And boy, I mean, I couldn't wait for the show. I was, you know, ever since last Thursday, I could not wait to get back on the air to talk to fans. And, you know, that said, I hope people know that we're on the air because of our schedule moved around so much and nothing we could do, media day and everything else going down here. So obviously we're on now. We'll be on for the next 2 hours. Tomorrow we'll be on at 2 o'clock Eastern time, as well as Thursday, 2 o'clock Eastern time. So that's where you're going to catch us. And I hope everyone back in New England is doing all right with the snow. I know it's pretty tough conditions back there. So I can't say that I'm not thinking of you, but I'm also can't say that I'm happy I'm not you. So
I can't say I understand that sentence.
That was my question.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wait, what?
I'm just glad we're here.
Right, Freddie, media day was a poop show.
Debacle.
Oh, it was terrible.
The indoor basketball arena was just way too crowded, way too many people. People were smelling. Yeah. Hot women were smelling.
Yeah, that's really even
worse. It's really bad. When a hot woman smells, you've ruined everything.
Yeah, that's not good.
What is this world coming to?
You know, I guess if you go on NFL Network now, you can actually see it. And it's tough unless you get it from a vantage from up. There's a good view right there. I mean, there's just nowhere to go.
I told these guys in the very beginning, I was on one end, and it was just jam-packed. I felt like Bourbon Street. You know how when you get there, and you're like, I can't move. How do I go?
Well, usually they do this at the football stadium.
And spread it out over the entire 110-yard sideline.
Yeah, they only use half the sideline, but there's enough room that you can separate the podiums a little bit better. That gives you room to move from podium to podium. This one, everybody was on top of each other, and when you wanted to go for one player, you'd be fine. If you were, just interested in one guy.
If you camp out, you were fine. But
once you started moving around from one to the next, it was hard. Then you had to wait a long time to get close enough to ask a question, and it really was tough.
So usually they do that at the football stadium, and every year the league makes a big deal about, we've issued more media, credentials than ever, so let's put it in a smaller place this year.
With kids.
Anyway, so enough bitching, because that's not why people have tuning in. They want to talk Patriots. And they'd want to talk about football.
Exactly.
Not footballs.
But a lot has happened since our last show.
Yeah, a lot has happened, and I would say all good.
Kind of true.
All good for the Patriots. I mean, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady,
Robert Kraft,
all coming out, guns blazing, defiant. This is what we wanted to see. This is what we wanted to hear. Topped off last night before the Patriots press conferences when they arrived here at the team hotel. Robert Kraft came on with the five-minute statement, I would say, and just firing, drop the mic like a boss man. And that's it. I mean, if I'm the league, I'm pooping my pants because they got nothing. They got nothing. They have absolutely nothing. And I was absolutely right when I said this has all been brinksmanship, the whole forensic video thing. This is all to, you know, beat somebody out of the bushes. But the problem is there's nobody in the bushes to beat out. There's nobody that's going to come forward because there's nobody that did anything. It's ridiculous. So the league has to look at themselves in how they handle these balls, perhaps. But other than that, nothing's going to come out of this thing. And, in fact, what I agree with Robert Kraft, the league should owe us an apology. They should give the Patriots an apology. So there's that.
I think they're just more than willing just to move on at this point. And there was a lot of football questions last night when we first got here, and there were a lot of football questions today, too. And I know that the football stuff, the Deflategate stuff is going to persist. But at this point, I think they're all moving on. Belichick is no longer answering questions on the topic. I heard him three or four today. You know, we're on to Seattle. We're moving on. We're not.
Yeah, he's definitely
and same as last night.
Yeah, set the tone with four. Same thing that happened last night.
Yeah, so I think
that it's about football at this point.
Yeah, I think in terms of the team, and I think even the league, I hope you're not going to hear any more leaks from this point on. And the next time we hear from the league, it'll be after the Super Bowl when they come to the conclusions that they you know, through their investigation. But that's it then.
And that's what Ted Wells' statement basically said yesterday, that we're still investigating. It could be a few more weeks.
Weeks away.
Yeah. Right.
And we don't want anyone talking about it anymore.
Right. Oh, well, you might have told that before you leaked something out about 3 hours before that statement came. It's just absolutely ludicrous what is going on.
Anti-Patriot.
What is Ted Wells, though?
He's a lawyer that they hired in charge of the investigation.
But he's not part of the league. He's someone that they hired to do this investigation.
No, but
like
he's
they
in
did
charge
year,
of the
right?
information that's coming in.
Right, but are the leaks whatever. Coming from the league? Or from Ted Wells?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I consider him the league.
Well, I don't.
All right. I don't really care. They're coming from the league or Ted Wells. Doesn't matter. If it's coming from the league, Roger Goodell needs to get his house in order. Right?
Mm-hmm. That I agree with you.
From what I've been told, these are coming from a very high level. This isn't like, you know, some, you know, wet-nosed slacky, you know, calling his friend at ESPN. This is coming from a high level. So that's complete BS. In my opinion, it really is.
It is.
So you're not buying. How much stock are you putting into the Fox Sports report?
The Glazer report?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Glazer's report in substance was correct, but it was missing some key ingredients. Like it was in a bathroom and it was for 90 seconds. I think that's information that probably wasn't relevant to that report. That maybe he wasn't given. I'm not blaming Glazer. Maybe that's all the information he was given. But if you put it in context, you're like, oh. Oh, okay. You know, it's just absolutely nonsense. It's just nonsense. And like I said, you know, that report and the whole we've hired a forensic video company is just to maybe somebody will come forward and save the day for the league. But no one's coming forward because no one did anything.
The only problem I have with that theory is, quote, saving the day for the league.
Right.
Do they want to blow the integrity of their AFC title game in their Super Bowl?
Right now they're in knee deep. Well, they're in waist deep, and they want something, even if it's a minor infraction on, you know, that they could slap on the Patriots. They want something to happen.
See, I think if you make that game look bad, if you make this game look bad, you make the league look bad.
They've already done that.
Cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, well, that's what they did.
I don't think the league wants to find anything.
I don't either.
I'm with Andy. I think.
Then why are they leaking this stuff, Paul?
I don't know.
And why are they dragging their feet?
Why are you assuming that everything that's leaked is wrong?
No, let's say it's right. Why are they leaking anything?
I don't know why they're leaking stuff, Fred. I'm just not willing to that everything is ridiculous.
Well, I'm telling you, in this case it is.
All.
Everything in the world is not ridiculous. In this case it is. All right.
Football.
What, Paul? You're shaking your head.
I don't really want to talk about Deflategate.
All right. So, no, I don't either.
We did it for a whole week last week. I don't think fans want to talk about it.
We updated him. Bill Belichick nailed it on Saturday in an impromptu press conference, and I thought Robert Kraft nailed it when we arrived here last night, when he basically said he's standing by his guys, he trusts his guys, he's not happy with the way his organization has essentially been sort of dragged through the mud, and if there's no proof, we deserve an apology.
Absolutely. All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at Patriots.com. Shout out to Zach Lane, who's back at Gillette Stadium in the studio, getting this on air. Kevin's here with us, but Zach is back there. He stayed overnight at the hotel at the stadium, and he's just weathering the storm for us. So thank you, Zach.
I just looked up.
Yeah.
I just noticed.
The puppet in front of
Oh, no, Belichick. That's funny, too, but also is funny. Every person I saw at the podium wore that white official media day Super Bowl thing, and I look up, and there's Bill in his sweatshirt.
Right.
It's awesome.
Let's see. Tristan
that
writes
was really
in.
Loud.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, these are different than our.
Yeah.
We're
like these, actually.
I do, too. But
I don't have a cough button.
Yeah, so move the thing when you need to cough or something. That was really
I've
loud.
Been very sick.
Mr. Radio.
That's another thing, Paul, I'm mad at you about.
I'm sorry.
Can we?
You came in and absolutely infected the whole office.
I did. And
can
you did tell me to go home on Thursday, too.
I did.
Next time I will.
But you were already there. Anyway, can we react at Media Day a little bit before we get right into emails?
I guess.
Just in terms of things we heard and saw and said and various things?
Yeah, I guess other than, you know, what we were just talking about, team arriving yesterday, this is the news, I guess.
Well, some of the big stuff, you know, I know a lot of people were camping out at Brandon Browner. I started out there because of his comments about they were going to sort of target Earl Thomas's shoulder and Richard Sherman's elbow, and he said that it was sort of blown out of proportion. He got immediately a text from Richard Sherman that said, LOL. You know, they're not upset with it. I know Cam Chancellor said he thinks Browner just kind of got caught up in the moment and said something. But they're all brothers. And I actually spent the second half of Media Day hanging out at Thomas, Sherman, and Chancellor, sort of the Legion of Boom guys there.
Right.
And was going in, I would have expected to like Earl Thomas and maybe not the other two. Exact opposite. I thought Earl Thomas came off as a total DB, more than just a defensive back. And Cam Chancellor is a very impressive. You know, I thought of him as this big physical and just very, very well-spoken, almost Bill Belichickian in his, it's not me and Gronk, it's not one-on-one battles here, it's team versus team, and just emphasizing team. No one player is going to win this for either side.
I'm telling you, it's hard to hate this team.
I don't. Except
really
for Marshawn Lynch, who I don't care
for. I'm trying to make things up, and I can't.
Russell
I can't
Wilson's great.
I hate him.
You hate him.
I have no problem.
You hate all of them?
Yeah. No, I meant Marshawn Lynch.
Oh. I only hate Marshawn Lynch.
I'm talking about the Seahawks.
I think Pete's likable. I think Richard Sherman.
Marshawn Lynch is kind of like the weird kid in the family that we all have to kind of, you know, if you're a Seahawk, you have to gather around and protect.
Keep out of prison.
I thought it was interesting. You know, this is, I don't know if it's this. How many years they've been having the fans in the stands?
Four years, I believe.
I stayed for some of the Seahawks too, and I did notice that there were more Seahawks fans.
Way louder.
Yeah, definitely
way
louder.
More impactful doing Seahawks.
Yeah,
there were more people there during the Seahawks availability than will be there for a Phoenix Suns game.
Yeah, I thought so too. It was pretty loud and raucous.
12th man traveled.
Yeah, they did.
Let's
hope the Patriots fans are kind of lying and waiting for the game. Because definitely the Seahawks fans won the day today in terms of involvement. You know, my impressions today, I thought that the Seahawks carried themselves with a lot of confidence. And I don't want to confuse swagger. We know they have the swagger. I'm just talking about almost a quiet confidence.
Agreed.
You know, and it's natural. They've been here, and they were just here. And a lot of the guys that were here last time are here again. And so you could see that. You could see that they were not at all in awe of anything going on.
They were also, I heard a couple different players emphasizing they're not looking to defend the title. They're looking to win this title.
Right.
And
yeah.
I know that maybe that's like parsing words, but
right.
they were.
Yeah. What we did before doesn't matter.
Right.
And but certainly the experience does.
I thought they came off, for a team that's supposed to be brash and talkative, I thought they came off very professional and impressive.
I did too.
Today.
I really did too.
You're right. It's hard to dislike them. I didn't really see anything I disliked there.
Yeah, I was listening to Michael Bennett a little bit and Kevin Williams, who almost signed here. He talked about that a little bit, saying obviously he didn't have a wrong choice to make. He was choosing between two great teams. They did. Those guys had a lot of the right things to say. And Bennett in particular was a quote machine. He's an entertaining guy. He really seemed to relish, you know, when the kids come over and they start asking the offbeat kind of questions. There was a lot of Katy Perry questions because Katy Perry's performing at halftime.
And hot.
And, you know, what your favorite song is. And then even Chandler Jones got into that a little bit. In the earlier session, he started singing Firework.
Baby, you're a fire.
Kind of like that.
I would have gone with what's the big balloon song? Is that the birthday
song? That's the
one.
Happy birthday.
No.
Are they called big balloons?
No. 98 no. big balloons.
Happy birthday.
Hey, there's Eric's bald head behind Mr. Kraft on TV if you're watching Eric. NFL Network now.
I didn't even know he was there until afterwards. Where was he?
He came in down the late. Corner.
Down in the where you guys were.
The player tunnel.
Where the players came in, just to the left of where the players came in.
Well, you know, some other impressions I had.
Is that Nate?
Yeah.
I really didn't have any others.
we talked to various assistant coaches, one of some of those things we don't always get. Now, we will get it.
A lot of them were hiding in the corners. Did you see that?
But I talked to Googe for a while. He had some interesting things to say that I didn't necessarily agree with. He was talking a little bit how they really focus not just on the sacks, but anytime Brady gets touched, that's bad. We can't let him get touched because that affects him. It gets into his mentality.
He said that?
And he also said, you know, but guys are going to get hit, and you got to compare it to, like, Green Bay. Tom wasn't really getting hit that much, and the other guy was getting hit a lot. And San Diego the next week, same thing. And I was like, I thought Tom was getting affected, and I didn't necessarily think we – so, guess differing opinions. But he had some interesting stuff to say about the interior line, how they're actually quicker when it's Klein out there. They gain a step. He's a little quicker with Wendell and Conley than when Stork and Wendell are out there. And he was talking about how Klein rotated through in the beginning of the year, and it kind of failed, but there was a long-term benefit to it. And they call him Cucumber because nothing bothers him. He's cool as a cucumber. Apparently it started last year. Dante would just absolutely berate him and chew him out, and it wouldn't faze him in the least. He wouldn't get down, so they call him Cucumber. But, you know, some of those, you talk to those assistants, Brian Daboll, I joked, you know, how's it to have the easiest job in football, coaching Gronk? Some of that stuff. But it's the opportunities we don't get every day.
Yep. Obviously, there were the network people there. It's always interesting to see the media interviewing the media. Which, you know, is just...
How about this one? We're watching right now.
Yeah.
McGinnis is interviewing Will Fork with Chad Brown just leaning on a piece of fence behind
him. Oh, I didn't even notice
former Patriots linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell was he doing there?
I don't know. I was eavesdropping, though. Remember he was in the exotic snake business?
Yes.
Well, apparently he had a fire and all the exotic
snakes
went
died?
Up in smoke.
Oh, man.
So now he's in a different business. He's getting back in the media because that...
Was he at least able to make belts or...
I don't think so. No. I think it was nothing. All... Wow. Burnt to a crisp.
Oh, now we're going to get, like, all worried about snakes?
No, I just thought it was funny that you...
You can kill every one of them. I don't care.
I hate snakes, too.
Yeah, I don't like snakes.
I'm not a snake fan.
The snakes out here,
be
too.
Careful. I was going to say, be careful walking back to your hotel.
Yeah, and scorpions. Little Mayo was out there, Gerard Mayo's daughter.
Oh, I didn't see her.
Yes, quite a crowd.
Ray Ray was taking her around.
Yeah. She was drawing quite a crowd, and we'll have some stuff on Patriots.com about all of this and Little Mayo and... All that will be going up a little later in the day.
Might write
it pays
it
to be a
point.
Kid at Media Day, by the way.
If you have breasts or you're five, you've got it in.
Because everybody clears their way. They let you ask your question. Yeah. And
or a player. Player, breasts, or little kid.
Yeah. Trent Dilfer, I think, had his
kid. We have none of those on staff.
Some kid was with him, and he was taking him around.
Jackie,
making him ask questions.
Trent Dilfer was out there? I didn't see Trent Dilfer. Was he out there?
That's why I said he had a kid.
Oh, I would have yelled, they're not good!
They can only lose. You can't win if you keep losing. Or
win if you lose.
You can't win if you lose.
All right. Let's get to some emails and phone calls. I appreciate everyone sticking with us. I know it's what time is it back home?
Ten to five.
So dinner time.
Dinner time with the PFW boys.
You know, people leaving work, maybe not. If you live in New England, you're probably stuck at home. So maybe this is really good. Tristan writes in. He's from L.A. Let's move past Deflategate and move on to Sleepgate. Is it a coincidence that the fire alarm went off at the Patriots Hotel? I think not. I propose a formal investigation into the pulling of this fire alarm and that fingerprints be taken from the alarm. This is blatant cheating. The alarm did go off, but only in a certain area.
Yeah, my area. The whole hotel.
Yeah, I don't think any of the players were affected whatsoever.
Woe is Paul.
Paul, you got it?
Yeah, I had to go out. But it was literally like seconds.
Yeah, I had it on Sunday, and it was for a good 10 minutes. And that thing is loud.
It is loud.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's so loud it hurts your ears, and I think they mean it to be that way so that you leave.
So you don't just hang around.
Right.
We don't actually think that was an issue, right? Especially since it happened 2 days in a row, including one of the days which players weren't here.
And evidently weren't affected by the second day.
Right. Yeah, so, I
technical difficulty.
I turned on the Twitter this morning, and it sounded like, you know, Patriots were out in their bathrobes at like 3 in the morning. That was not the case.
No, that was just Paul.
That was just the webmaster.
Right.
That was just Paul.
But, Paul, you don't matter, so, you know.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
He matters more than Chris does.
Let's see. A lot of people still emailing in about Deflategate, but we're not going to go there right now. So let's see what the phone calls are saying. Let's go to Anton in New Jersey. What's going on, Anton?
How you doing, Andy, Fred, Paul, and Eric?
Yeah, good.
Great.
Yep.
What's up?
First, I want to shout out PFW Elite. You know, it's been real supportive throughout the whole season. Secondly, I'm just so souped to be in the Super Bowl this year, guys.
Me too.
Another thing I want to point out is first a matchup. I think the Seahawks really gonna put the clamps down on Gronk. I wouldn't be surprised if Tim Wright has a good game. I really wouldn't. Or if not, we do the two tight end set like before.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if they throw a lot of different things. You know, that's a good secondary. I don't think you're just going to line up and beat that secondary. You know, Brandon Browner was saying, you know, he thinks they're the two best secondaries in football as units. And,
plus, this is an offense that can do a lot of different things. They're not one-dimensional.
Well, that's why this is such an intriguing matchup. Yeah. I think the Patriots can't line up and just do anything against this defense, but I think they can do different things. And that's what I think they have to keep it different to keep the Seahawks on their heels. Because if they get a read on you, it's over. I think.
Well, yeah, if you do what they think you're going to do, they're going to kill you because they're going to get there in a hurry and physical.
Yeah,
they're so fast. They don't do a lot of different things, but they do everything that they do very well, and they're really fast.
I won't lie to you. Cam Chancellor had an impact on me today. I didn't know this. Apparently, he watches Sean Taylor highlights right before he puts his helmet on and goes out to the field. And he said, quote, it puts him in a dark place. Like, yeah. And he's big. He intimidated me a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. He gets in a dark place and goes out on the field.
It was funny because I was watching the local TV stations last night, you know, their news reports. And, you know, the Super Bowl's here, so they're covering it as news. And the sports guy comes on and goes, yeah, I talked to Cam Chancellor. He scares me.
He does. but in that, like, he's not, you know, I don't want to use this word, but the thug, like, there's none of that. He is, like, clean cut, looks like he's, like, just a normal, regular guy, but then he goes, and I get in a dark place. Like, you start, whoa, okay, relax.
Yeah. Another thing go ahead, Anton.
First of all, I just want to, Andy, you are comedic gold when you're on, what's the WEI show, Mike and Holly,
right.
Dale will love that, the Mike and Holly show. Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been telling them that for years.
That's all I got, guys.
All right. Thanks, Anton.
I'm glad you got that.
You know, one thing I
thanks for sticking in.
One thing that kind of came to mind last night when I was watching they weren't sports, it was a newscast with the sports sections. If the Patriots ever had a Super Bowl, or I should say rather not the Patriots, but if
New England.
If Boston ever had a Super Bowl, do you think our news guys would cover it the way, you know, in the positive way like people out here cover it, if the Patriots weren't involved?
Oh, you mean?
Or would they be more jaded and cynical about it?
No.
No, they'd probably like it more if the Patriots weren't
involved. They'd be covering the event instead of the game.
Yeah.
And you think they'd do that?
Yeah. Don't you?
I don't get the question, really.
Well,
if the Patriots weren't in the Super Bowl, but we were hosting it, do you think the local sports
would be leading with it? And
well, I just know, and the reason I ask, I know as fans,
the NFL is here.
Like, if the Celtics aren't in the NBA championship, we could give a darn.
No,
they would. If the Red Sox aren't in the World Series, we don't care.
The Super Bowl is the biggest event on the planet.
But that's not the same thing.
Not really.
Is the World Series being held at Fenway Park without the Red Sox in it? Because that would be the same thing.
Yeah. So
they would cover the World Series.
I'm just wondering if they would put in the effort that these, you know, cities like this do.
Absolutely, especially since it would be the first time.
Yeah, I think they would.
It would be, who knows logistically how it would work. You know, you'd have events probably spread out throughout the southern New England region from Boston on down. And yeah, it would be a news event. It would
plus,
be
the
huge.
Super Bowl is the biggest event.
It's the Super Bowl of events.
So yeah, I think that they would cover it.
Right? Well said, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think they'd cover it. I know they'd cover it, but I just wonder how much effort and enthusiasm they put into it.
I think they'd all be,
you know,
covering it every day.
Our team's not involved, so, you know, it's whatever.
No, I mean, they would do a package every day. Like,
at
media
least
day
live
today,
shots,
they would have live, you know, someone would be there. They might not have I mean, my God, I think every outlet that I saw today had, like, 10 deep with personnel. The personnel here from Boston is ridiculous in terms of the media.
Yeah.
Comcast leading the way.
All of them.
Nesson isn't.
You know, this guy.
I heard Elle Duncan complaining that it was her and a cameraman.
That's all they had?
That's all they had.
For what? From where?
Nesson.
Oh, good.
Well, Doug Kide. Does Doug Kide count?
Well, okay. They just steal stuff from Patriots.com.
Doesn't he count for Nesson?
Well, I think she was talking about from the video. Like,
in other words, it's all about her.
Comcast has multiple producers, a bunch of cameramen, a bunch of hosts, you know, all kinds of people here, and she has her own little mic, and that was it.
Just be happy you're here.
That's what I was thinking.
Wow. Fidel's in Florida. Hey, Fidel.
He swam over.
Hey, Andy. Hey.
What's up?
How are you?
Guys?
Great.
Doing great.
How many shorts did you guys pack?
I packed three, but I haven't been allowed to use them yet because the idiots from Comcast said, oh, I have to wear pants on the TV show today.
So, I'm calling first play of the game. Brian Penn, 50-yard deep on Richard Sherman, touchdown. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't. I think the first play
could be
play action.
Play. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't really love that start. Feels like the same kind of thing where last year we're like,
Matthew Slater's
on the field.
I'm going to tell you right now up in front, I'm not going to feel real good if Brian Timms is on the field.
I won't either. Did you see that stat, too? He only plays the left side.
Brian Timms?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't see that.
Every pass thrown to him, every time he's lined up, has been on the left side.
Well, that would sort of eliminate
and he runs
his chances of beating Sherman.
Post. Runs true. A deep post.
That's true. He can't play Sherman if he's on that side.
Right.
Well, hey, go ahead. I have one more question. Who do you think will run more, LeGarrette Blount or Jonas Garrett?
I think that's a great question, and as much as we've been mocking Fred all year, I think this is a game where you can make an argument for Jonas Gray.
Why so? Thanks, Fidel.
The speed and the hitting the hole quickly. I think Eddie Lacy had some success last week, and then he got in trouble at times when he didn't hit the hole quick enough. And I think LeGarrette Blount walks that line sometimes of not hitting the hole quickly enough. I'm going to admit, on one level, it would be a little bit like overthinking yourself. You have a lead back, and you're putting your backup in.
Right.
But on the other end, I would say you can argue it's a better matchup. It's still
Bolden?
A big guy. I have no interest in Bolden.
Yeah, I mean,
nice man. Love him to death more than I did.
Love
in the summer.
You, mean it, Brandon.
But
I'm going to go with Blount to the answer of Fidel's question.
Yeah, I think he does.
Huh?
What?
What's that now?
Who?
I gotta be nice. I think Brandon Bolden's staying down by Eric and I somewhere.
Oh,
so I'm in the hallway.
But that's why you don't get any fire alarms.
It's true.
You're with the players.
Yeah.
But
I'm with the unwashed.
Idiotic to play Jonas Gray early because of his quickness to the hole.
I didn't say that.
Because now. Let's hash some stuff out here.
I didn't mean to make fun. I didn't.
No. I'm asking.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I don't think I.
Because I do think, in some respects, it's
he's
overthinking.
He's quicker,
but
to
he
the
is quicker
than
to the hole.
Blount is.
But is that enough?
I don't.
Because Blount is better.
I like.
I still believe
better.
Blount is better. And by the way, Ivan Fears definitely agrees Blount is better. He had a lot of really nice things to say about LeGarrette Blount today, and said he can be a much better player. There is still plenty of room for growth in his game.
Did he say like what he needs to work on? Or
he did not.
No.
He did have a I'm going to drop a dime here, as they say in the inside track. He made an interesting comment because somebody, it wasn't me, asked, have you just scratched the surface on what James Devlin's contributions can be? And they had a little smirk. And they, no, and he said, you know.
Andy was like 20 feet away. He's like,
and
know,
he,
his Devlin
he,
radar.
He was talking to Belichick at the time.
But listen, he said, and he started to talk, and then he stopped, and he said, maybe we should wait till after the game till we have this conversation.
Oh.
And I was like, James Devlin, a big part of the game plan?
Or maybe he's going to be inactive.
No, that wouldn't make sense. It's because he's going to, like, catch five passes for 50 yards and two touchdowns. That's why.
Okay.
Because you're going to take advantage of that secondary
in your world.
Coverage.
Yep.
Boom.
That makes sense in your world.
But game plan-wise, are we number three run defense in football or number one? Yeah, something like that.
In Seattle?
Yeah. Number one, I think.
I don't know.
They're really good at run defense. They did a decent job against the Packers very much in the second half. I thought Eddie Lacy had some runs early. James Starks had that quick hitter off the right side. Do you run the football, or is this the Ravens game all over again where you say, I can't run the football against them, so I'm just going to throw it? Yeah. The only problem with that theory is the Ravens game, their secondary wasn't very
That's
good.
Right.
This team has a secondary.
That's right.
So no matter what you do, it's not a matchup that you say,
right.
Yeah, we should win that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're going to pass first and open up the run.
Right.
Well, that could backfire
right.
on you.
So yeah. I actually think you should run the football. I personally think you should run the football early. I don't want to see any of these Brady's where he's getting banged around
yeah.
early and he starts having the Brady face on
right.
the sideline
yeah.
and throws a safety.
Yeah, well, the first play in Super Bowl 42, I think, was like they tried to do a screen to Welker.
It was a very slow developing.
Slow developing.
One of those, you know, the,
oh,
the one
the
with
this
Brady
and the this?
Turns
yeah, yeah.
his back,
yeah,
he fakes
yeah,
the right, end around, right. he does this.
It's like sleight of hand.
He's got his
yeah.
back completely turned, and
yeah.
all of a sudden he turned around and got blown
and it was supposed to be to Welker.
Yeah.
Like Welker was setting up for a screen.
I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
I say hit him with a quick hitter. 7 yards, Jonas Grayer. 7 yards, LeGarrette Blount. Boom, we're here to play.
Jason from Indiana writes in, heard there was a game this week, wondering if those rumors were true. Anyway, I was thinking about the last 8 days, and I've come up with 4 important conclusions. One, while I was watching the press conferences Thursday, I discovered the true mastermind behind Deflategate. The obvious answer is Gillette. I'm guessing by the backdrop behind Bill and Tom, this is great news for the new Flexball Razor. I mean, that's been getting a lot of play.
It is.
Number two, we should deactivate Gronk. I mean, now that we know he's not really that good, maybe we should re-sign Maneri. Big thanks to Seattle's number one corner, Jeremy Lane, for pointing that out. Three, Bill is not a scientist. And four, was our ball attendant told to do his job, or was he really just doing his business? Anyway, as that famous NFL guru says, the player's going to play, the hater's going to hate, and we just have to shake it off.
Shake it off.
Thank you, Andy. Let's go to Steve in Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hello, finest journalist and reporters in the business.
Wow.
Thank you.
You must have the wrong show.
And I will never use the word media to refer to you guys again.
Thank you.
Watching Robert Kraft, I got shaved with the Sopranos and a little bit of Cat in Chicago. It's like, if you're going to come at me, you better come correct and heavy. It's
like, that's right.
Whoa. All right, Bob.
That's right.
And, I don't ever want to personally see that side.
I think in the game, we're going to do – I'd like to see us do the running back tandem of Blount and Gray.
That's what I'd like.
Legs just pounding. At the beginning of the game.
I'm not sure you can just pound them.
I think they'll both be active, though.
I think it'll be the four.
Yeah.
James White will be inactive, and you'll have Bolden because he's a special teamer.
Right.
Vereen for the passing sets, and you'll have the...
Oh, and Vereen.
Don't rule out Gray catching some passes, too. You know, short little dump-offs where he leaks
out
of the backfield. But
overthinking.
He's done that.
Who,
he can do it. Yeah, Gray.
I've ruled it out.
That's
not what I want him in there.
And Devlin might be tossed in there as well, as you guys have already alluded to.
Devlin, baby, out of the backfield. Boom.
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just glad we're past the 8 days of the circus and we can actually get on to the game.
Right. All right, Steve. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Steve.
Alan writes in, do you think that they might mix up who's spying on Wilson? Do you think at times they may use Patrick Chung? How much effort do you think the Patriots will put into the run game? And do you see them using the extra tackle Fleming for an oversized line? Spying on Wilson first?
I think you could see. I mean,
Jamie Collins would be an option for.
We saw Ninkovich do some of it against Andrew Luck. I think you're going to, whether it's a true spy or however they choose to play it, those guys are going to have quite a number of eyes on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and I talked to Hightower and Collins today about that, and. That's
hopefully they didn't tell you.
No, well, okay. But that's pretty much the way they talked about it. Is, you know, in those, you know, in Patriots terms, it was doing your job and executing the defense, and you know, defending the whole field, and you can't get caught up into one. It's not about an individual match. So, but yes, I do think it's going to be a little bit of changing and mixing and matching in that regard. But Collins is the guy that I think most. Most replicates what Wilson does, the kind of athlete that Wilson is. So I don't think you want to have Patrick Chung doing that.
I don't particularly.
I'm not sure he's not. I don't think he's fast enough.
No,
he's a good tackler, but I don't think he's fast enough if he gets caught in space with a guy like Wilson.
Paul, I'm sure you didn't see this, but I wrote about on Saturday before all hell broke loose in the improv.
You are right. I didn't see a whole lot Saturday other than the. Pillow.
Eye control was the key word that a lot of guys are throwing around. Gronk just walked by our window here at the
eye control
for the read option and some of the different things in focusing on what Russell Wilson can do and you know, misdirection and different things. And then he pulls the ball down. You think he's throwing. He pulls the ball down and can run. A lot of eye control and team defense talk about defending them. Because
team defense was a big
It's funny because the Seahawks are preaching the same thing. A lot of that comparison this week.
You know, and that's why. I mean,
same vintage.
These are two of the better defenses in football, and that's the kind of mentality that they have. I mean, they're not out there. They don't have a couple of good players. You know, to have.
Pretty good now.
To have both of them to have great secondaries that they do, it's not because they have Revis and Sherman.
It's all about the football. That's what people.
You know, you have to have other guys that have done well, and they complement each other, and certainly it helps to have the star that makes everybody better, and I think both Revis and Sherman do that. But the other guys have to play well, too. I thought a guy like McCourty, the last game against Indianapolis, I thought he was tremendous in that game. I thought he was a lot like Ed Reed you know, when we used to talk about Ed Reed taking away.
She called McCourty.
McCourty Ed Reed?
I think in that game, I said.
Wow. That's one game before a contract.
Taking away, you know, different multiple receivers on deep balls, eliminating options for Andrew Luck in that game. So McCourty was pretty good, too.
Both teams, without being asked, have brought up, I'm sure you've seen the statistic, since I think 2012, they're plus 51, tied leading the league. And the next best team, I believe, is plus 23. That's a massive drop-off, and these two teams are, and they talked about that's the core of their philosophy, Belichick, Carroll, is the football, the importance of taking it away from the other team and keeping it yourself. And
right.
Everything else is an offshoot of that, but that is the core of the philosophy. The football is the most important, and not exactly, you know, right. groundbreaking, but.
Right. Yeah, little Joshie McDaniels talked about that a lot today.
Jane writes in,
love
the guns blazing and going in the direction I was hoping for the team. I am all about the Super Bowl and don't have any interest in the discussion other than fixing any potential future situations. We don't need any more questions. Okay. Fred sounds sick. I am, or kind of was. I'm much better than I was, believe it or not. Tom sounded sick. How is the team overall? And in watching the media day, the Patriots seem up, positive, and the Seahawks seem more serious and tense. And, of course, I won't discuss the player that won't talk.
I didn't get tense.
Yeah,
I think professional, business-like, and maybe for some people who have an idea about the Seahawks based on Pete and Richard Sherman and everything, maybe they came across as a little more professional today. But I didn't sense any nerves or
No. But I wonder if there's a little bit of hurt pride in just the fact that all of the talk. It might not be good, but all the talk is about the other team. It's about the Patriots and not about the Seahawks, who are the defending champions.
Could be.
You know, maybe there's a little bit of that. Like, of course, we have to come into the game and everyone's talking about them.
Right.
Well, and that was the part of it when we were talking about the potential for the Patriots to have a rallying cry with the Deflategate stuff. I brought that up to you. Like, couldn't you very easily have that develop a rallying cry for the Seahawks, too? You know, they think that this is all about them. You know, this is all about whether or not they cheated. And let's rally around this. Let's say that they are cheating. You know, let's make sure that we don't let the cheaters win. Mm. You know, the whole league is counting on us. You know, there's a million different things that you can do. It's all crap. I mean, both teams have all the motivation that you could possibly want to win a football game with Super Bowl 49 on the line.
Just the fact that you're in the game.
It's all manufactured crap.
Yeah.
So either side could come up with the rallying cry, and whoever wins will say that's why they won, but it won't be why they won. It will be because they played better on Sunday. Hopefully. But, hopefully the team that plays best on Sunday wins, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what
you always hope for? Yeah.
So, but, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
But I would say that the guy, overall, I think guys at least try to have fun with Media Day because they know it's not really hard. For the most part, it's not hard-hitting X's and O's. There are some.
Honestly, it's the same questions they get the rest of the week. Don't you think?
Yeah,
there's a lot of fun.
It's mixed in.
Yeah,
but you also get the same. It's because there's more time. You know.
Yeah,
but it's the same question.
Well, it's the same time. It's just different. Like all the people that go to Media Day,
there's a lot of people credentialed for Media Day that
can't go to the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So all they get is the boring stuff that we ask
about. Right.
Like on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
But they get everything else.
But they get the kids. They get the TV Azteca. They get
the guy in the barrel.
The Arizona State crew. Did you see those guys today?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, those guys won't be at the hotel.
Yeah, what was the deal with the guy in the barrel?
He was from a radio station.
Just a
radio station.
Stupid.
Yeah, really.
Like, what do you come up with?
I know.
I mean, I'm okay with the women.
Yeah.
You know, you put a fronty.
Boobs.
Good-looking face.
A woman in a barrel. That would be good.
I'd be fine with that, too.
Yeah.
No, I think the barrel would be way too much based on what they were wearing today.
Did you see they... There are a lot of stories coming out. Patricia was a popular guy guys talked to. They felt like he opened up more than he does on his weekly conference calls, which, as we all know, are tough to listen
to. So he actually answered questions?
But he said 4 hours. They asked him about his sleep, how much he gets, and he said 4 hours is a good night.
Wow.
It could be a couple hours or an hour. It could be three. 4 hours is a nice night, but it doesn't happen all the time. I'd die. I don't know how
anybody who is in this profession of coaching, especially coaching football, it lasts.
I think they're just different. Like, I've read stories about that the sleep cycle, some people are off. They don't fall into the average of whatever, 8 hours. Can you imagine that, though? Like, four is the good one. Two, three is – I mean, it's awesome in some way. If you can literally live like that, You have so much more time in the day, in your life, in the week.
It can't be healthy long term. It just can't be.
I think it's just the quality of sleep that you get. You know, if you sleep 4 deep hours of sleep, I think.
Yeah, but he's saying 4 is a good one. It's usually 2 or 3 or something. They don't always get 4.
Yeah, that's tough.
But it's great if you can do it.
If you can do it.
Like, think about how many more hours in the day you have.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either. If I go like 2 days without 8 hours, I'm a beast.
Do you not have enough hours in the day?
No.
I'll bet you, though, they nap during the day, like 20 minutes or something. You have to.
Still, it's tough to sustain that over.
You nap.
Months and months.
They got those little mats they roll out downstairs and they curl up.
Winston Churchill is very famous during World War II for his power naps in the middle of the afternoon. He said would allow him to go.
How do you make it a power nap?
You literally just, you know, tell your secretary to wake you up in 20 minutes.
Right.
You know?
But what makes it a power nap? What if I don't fall asleep immediately? What if I don't feel like.
If you're exhausted, you get into the deep sleep as soon as you just start letting your body relax.
Okay.
You don't take naps that much?
No, I don't.
Never?
I didn't say never. I said, you said not much. And then I said, no, I don't. Not much. I didn't say never.
No, I mean, have you ever taken naps?
Oh, yeah.
And you know the feeling. If you're flat out exhausted, you can't wait to get your head on the pillow, and then boom, you're out.
Right.
Before you know it, it's time to wake up. And
that's rare for me, though, unfortunately. It takes me a while to get to sleep.
Yeah, it takes me a
while. You should work out.
Well, no, I'm just using drugs now.
Oh, yeah, that's healthy.
Z-Quil or whatever.
Yeah. Ann's in Colorado writing in, calling in. Ann, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Tired.
Yeah, he's always bitching that, Eric. Always bitching. We're not that far away. How many states away? We
weren't
state away?
No, we're not far away at all. I would have loved to have gone down, but what can you do?
I hear you.
Okay. I know you don't want to talk anymore about the flake gate, but going on in my head, I just have to get out.
Okay.
All right. I just want to say, for every half-wit sportscaster, for every Ray Lewis cretin, crybaby loser Brunel, imbecile Troy Aikman, stupid news reporters, newscasters, sportscasters, all those morons at ESPN, what all these half-wits are doing is handing a huge can of spinach to Popeye. And I'm not just talking Bill and Tom. I'm talking every player on our team is a big Popeye, and they have just given us a gift. I am so proud of Bill, Tom, Mr. Kraft, and every player who's been interviewed. And kudos to Drew and Teddy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And probably the one thing I want to say is the team, all they're hearing is the crap. I mean, how many newscasters are there across the nation? I don't know, 5,000, 10,000? That's what they're hearing. Everybody jumping on this witch hunt bandwagon. But there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of fans who have got their back, who are loyal, who believe in them. But we're not being interviewed and, you know, we're not writing articles and being on radio shows.
You are right now.
Oh, I know, but that call is here and there.
Millions
and
of people hear this show, Ann.
Exactly. I just want to say, I hope the team knows, and that show at Boston was great, but I hope the team knows that we've got their backs. We're 100%
they know.
Behind them.
They know. Believe me, the emails have been coming in. A lot of bad ones, I'll admit. But, you know, once the facts started coming out, you know, the fans are just piling on positively. So they know. They know the support that's out there.
I hope so, because I know they're bringing home the Lombardi. I just know it. I've said it from the beginning of this year. I don't know why, and I was afraid to say it out loud, but we're going all the way. We are
going all the way. All right, Ann, thanks. Cue that up. Ann says we're going all the way, Kevin.
Isn't that a song? What's that? The old Meatloaf?
Oh,
wait tonight.
We're going all the way tonight. Paradise by the Dashboard
Light. We should play that. Cue that up. He's so useless. He just looks at
him. What are you doing over there, Kevin? Huh?
Nothing.
Okay, that's right. All right. Melvin.
I agree.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
What's going on? Hey.
Hey. I got a couple of quick points. I guess going back to the game itself, the one factor, well, two factors I would feel going to be real key to us winning is going to be those lines. Both of them, to be honest, offensive and defensive line. And this one's going to be different because the defensive line, I guess, is going to have to do a lot of more, I don't want to say reading reaction. I feel like it's important that when Bill Evans says that whenever they were down in their Baltimore game to quit trying to do too much and do your job. I mean, it's simple to say, but like the Forsett play, they said that Collins was, I guess, trying to be out of position or trying to bump somebody else. But it's going to be key for this game for them to actually stay in their position, because this is going to be a game to where I think the Seahawks are really trying to get you leaning in another direction and, you know, take that and then, you know, bootleg and do all the little stuff there that they do, really. And with that being said, I like the fact that I went back there and watched the game, or watched some, I guess, the AFC celebration. The Elderman said himself that, you know, it's only good if you win it going to the Super Bowl, which is good. I feel like the only motivation I would need as a player is I've been in this position for a loss. So I don't want to even taste that defeat again. But the question I say is, if they do win Super Bowl 49, how would you compare Edelman to Welker? Would you say that? I feel like that's going to be interesting, like Patriots history and stuff, because one was a great player, you know, but, you know, never shined in that postseason moment. And Edelman throwing touchdown passes, and he goes there and beats this, the leader of this wide receiver corps, and beats this Seahawks, you know, secondary. I don't know how I compare him to him.
You know, it's interesting because
I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, thanks, Melvin. That came up earlier, and I forget who it was that said that what Bill was looking at when he drafted Edelman was not another Welker, but really another Troy Brown. Did you guys hear that?
I saw that on Twitter somewhere.
Yeah. It came from the Patriots somewhere. One of the players said it, or I forget who. It might have been McDaniels that said it earlier in the week. He said that when they drafted Edelman, they were looking at another Troy Brown, not another Welker.
What does that mean?
Maybe just more of
a versatile player,
you know. Now, Welker could return punts as well. So
he did, but he never played defense. Troy Brown played defense. Edelman played defense for a little
bit.
They
didn't draft Edelman to play defense.
I didn't say that.
No, I know, but like that. If that's the comparison,
Brown once played
defense.
I know what Eric's saying, and I know.
My point is, Brown was kind of a dynamic player.
Right.
If you wanted him to do something, he pretty much could do whatever you asked him to do.
But
Edelman seemed like he could do that. I wouldn't have felt comfortable if they said, all right, we have a DB crisis, we need Wes Welker to play cornerback, I wouldn't have felt as safe.
You know, beyond the versatility, could it be also just as a football player, football instincts, football IQ? You know, maybe they saw in Edelman that football IQ that Troy Brown definitely had. He was always aware of the situation, always, you know, made the right play until the last year when –
Was Troy Brown a quarterback at one point in his younger days?
I don't know. At Marshall?
Not at Marshall, but like high school or something?
Not sure.
I don't know. I don't think so, but yeah. I don't know.
But maybe that's what he was talking about.
Didn't know. I mean, and if Josh said it, I mean, I certainly take his word for it, but they didn't know what Edelman was when they drafted him. They've said that. Belichick himself has said that many times. They told him, we have no idea what we're going to play you, but we just drafted you. Come here and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. But and even that. You can draw a comparison to Troy Brown, because when Troy Brown was drafted, he got cut. Parcells cut him.
I know that, but so was Welker. I mean, that's what Welker was.
But
Welker was a receiver, no doubt about it.
Well, that's what the other two are too.
Okay, so Josh, you're dumb. You shouldn't have said that.
Well, I mean,
we're doing is trying to figure out what he meant, Paul.
But didn't I start the whole thing by saying I would respectfully disagree with Josh if he was saying that that's what they thought when they drafted him? Because Bill has said patently the opposite of that. We didn't have any idea what he was when we drafted him. That's what Bill said.
In terms of the
– I'm just going off of Bill.
In terms of the position, perhaps. But as a football player, maybe that's what he was talking about. This guy knows football.
But let's see what we can do with him. The three of those guys play the same exact position. I don't see a tremendous difference between those three guys' skill sets. Welker, Edelman, and Troy Brown. I really don't. I think they were all exceptional slot receivers in this offense.
Well, I think Edelman has more speed than Welker, flat-out speed, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that?
I would say so.
Probably.
Which makes him a better kick returner, perhaps.
But no one had those in-and-out cuts like Welker and those option routes.
He's very quick.
No one, ever, that I've seen. No comparison. I want to be careful of moving on from Welker's contributions and diminishing them. And I don't think this is doing that.
Just like I never wanted to move on from Troy Brown's contributions with Welker when he was here.
I want to be careful with that. And I think there are some different. Like, I thought Troy Brown was much thicker than the other two. I thought he was a beefier, upper body, jacked kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I thought that Troy I don't know that he had any more speed necessarily, because I don't think he did.
Was, no, he didn't.
But I thought he was a little bit more versatile in terms of inside and outside receiver, being able to play a little bit more outside.
Yep.
So I think, I don't know. I just think it's interesting, and I don't know that there's a massive contrast between all of them. That,
well, I think Paul's right. I think they didn't know what they had in Edelman when they – drafted him.
Yeah,
they weren't
but
sure.
That was my only point.
But I think what they did know is this guy, we can figure out something for him.
Yes, right. There was something, you know, that Bill saw in him that he definitely was intrigued by. There's
but
no
by that, he's
that.
He's the next Teddy Bruschi. That's what they did with Teddy Bruschi. They drafted him and said, the kid can play football. We'll find a way to find a position where he plays football.
Yeah.
And they eventually did that.
Yeah.
And
I think that's part of their core philosophy on some level.
In terms of how
Jamie Collins might have been that.
Yeah.
You know, I know Jamie Collins has played front to back and back to front. I don't know exactly whether he'll be inside or outside or end up as an whatever, but I think this guy can play football.
He said today, you know, those like the generic, you know, whatever they want me to do, they want me to play this, I'll play this. You know, they want me to play safety, I'll play safety. And he said, they want me to play quarterback, I'll play quarterback. He just said it in a way that was different than what normally would the guys say that, Collins. He said, you know, if they want me to play quarterback, I'll play quarterback. And he said it to me specifically as, and I could do it if they needed
there
me to do
no
it.
There is no doubt he believes he can do it. He also probably believes if you put him on the court, he'll guard Kobe Bryant and do it better than a lot of people would.
Yeah.
He is never lacking for confidence, which is, I still say, when you can get him in sort of a comfortable environment, which I'm sure he was not comfortable today.
He wasn't bad, actually. But, I talked to him for a few minutes. He seemed like he was enjoying it.
Well, good for him then.
He said, if it were up to me, I wouldn't do this, meaning the interviews on Media Day. He said, because it's too much of a distraction for me. But he said, it's cool. And now that I'm here and I'm doing it, it's kind of fun.
Well, it is up to you. You can walk out like Marshawn Lynch.
Well, but no. See, he has respect for his
plus,
job.
He also only makes $480,000. And if he gets a $100,000 fine, that's not good.
That's true.
Ethan writes, and I was wondering what your opinions are on who will have more of a home field advantage. I think being on the west side of the country, Seattle fans will be more prevalent.
Yep.
Even though I think Seattle will have more fans, I think it won't be anything like being at Seattle, which will give the Patriots a good home advantage because I think they are not very good away from home.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we were here in 07, obviously they were undefeated. People were expecting the Patriots to win, but it was – I would say at least three quarters Patriots fans in the stadium.
I agree.
Yeah, so they were.
I know that had something
to
do with
coronation.
It. But they did travel well.
But they ended up at a funeral.
But they had to travel here.
Right.
And they traveled well for
and
that.
And they're also
going to
have traveling problems.
They
literally.
Have traveling problems.
There could be
problems,
some that are planning on coming who
might
for
have
snow
delayed
and delays.
And
I mean, Logan is going to be bombarded Thursday, Friday. When I don't know when it's opening
the
up again.
The whole Northeast
and
is
going to
be like
that. Yeah.
Every airport in the Northeast
so
is going to be like that.
If you don't have a direct flight, if you were going somewhere, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's going to be a poop show.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Brian in Essex, Vermont writes this in.
Snow everywhere.
I'll tell you who he was writing about afterwards. He said, to prevent himself from crossing all the way over to the genius gap into deep sleep, he would nap with his hand propped up on his elbow while he clutched a handful of ball bearings. Then he would just drift off to sleep, knowing that his subconscious mind would take up the challenge of his problem and provide a solution. As soon as he went into too deep a sleep, his hand would drop and the ball bearings would spill noisily on the floor, waking him up again. He'd then write down whatever was on his mind. Who do you think he was talking about?
Bill Belichick.
No. A famous inventor.
Oh, I was going to go like
Edison. Thomas Edison. Good, Eric.
I was going to go the other way and pick like a serial killer or something.
That speaks a lot about what's going on
in
your head.
I was actually thinking a famous inventor like that.
That's what Thomas Edison used to do.
That's interesting.
Bully for Thomas Edison.
I did not think of Thomas Edison off the top of my head.
Good
for Eric.
What did he ever do?
Nothing.
Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I'm glad y'all said they sound like they got a lot of confidence and not swagger. And I'm glad our team got a little confidence. But I got a question for you. When they run their read option, think they should have somebody cover each body, everybody, like the quarterback, dive back to pitch, like they do in college and high school?
Well, there's only two options. It's not a triple option type deal. It's a give to the back, to Lynch or whoever's
or
in there,
it.
The Terminator, or you pull it out and Sherman and Wilson runs it backside.
Sometimes Wilson will pitch it too. All depends who's coming on the backside. One of those receivers.
Who's he pitching it to? Do they? Are you talking? I don't watch enough Seahawks games. I mean, do they run a? Do they motion a receiver? Do they do one of those jut? Okay, we can't both talk about it.
With the guy that left there, then they started doing with Baldwin or Hurt. The other guy.
Who? Wait, are you talking about a pass?
No, like a triple option, man. Like an option.
So they motion one of the receivers you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that changes the play dramatically.
Yeah, it does. So that's what I was wondering.
But,
other than that, you know, I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident that we'll win this hour. I'm going to do what everybody else say. Us against the world. It's time to prove the world wrong.
That's right.
And I've got to get it.
All right, Aldridge.
And it's four at all.
A good one.
Thank you. Thank
four. Is the number four, like, does it have anything to it? You know, the, like, numerology or those people? That
I don't know.
Well, how does four work?
I don't know.
We must have a wacko out there that knows. Wacko, call in.
Gareth in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Listening to you discuss how well the Seahawks carried themselves at Media Day was definitely an insight. And although I don't care for Sherman's antics or Lynch's whole deal, the Seahawk player who annoys me most is Russell Wilson.
What?
A good player, no doubt, but the whole Mr. Clean image is just too perfect. We all know people who carry themselves like that, and almost invariably, they are absolute a-holes underneath it. The whole crying thing just furthered my belief in this, and it's only a matter of time until the mask slips. Anyway, the excitement is building, and I cannot effing wait for Sunday.
I don't think Russell Wilson.
I think he's the real deal.
I do, too.
I really do. I'd love to have him fail, you know, but I think.
You would love to have him?
Fail, yeah.
As a person?
Yeah, sure.
Collateral damage, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Night before the Super Bowl, you know, you find him with a 14-year-old. I love that, but, you know.
Boy or girl.
It's not going
to
happen.
Did you say a prostitute? You have to make it a 14-year-old.
Oh, because that, there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
Well there's a little something.
Yeah, there is. Like
Eugene not really. Unless you're married, there's nothing wrong with that.
He's not married. They got divorced.
Exactly.
Because Golden Tate banged her.
Right.
Who got divorced? Rumor.
Russell Wilson.
He was married?
Yeah. But Golden Tate did or did not bang her, so they got divorced.
Oh.
She might have been a bit of a player.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's young to have been married and divorced already.
Well, you know, whores can ruin young guys' lives, too.
There you go.
What?
Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
How's it going, fellas?
Good. Hey.
Just two quick things. I guess pumped for the game. Andy, I believe I'm agreeing with you. We have to find a way to run the ball at least a little bit, or at least keep them honest.
Does that scare you?
No, I think we have some opportunities, especially if they're going to double team Gronk and they're going to take a couple guys out of the box. It might open some things up. I think we just to keep it. I'd rather have, instead of dropping back and passing the ball 60 times, have a couple third and sevens, third and eights, other than than constantly throwing at that secondary and letting them tee off on Brady. You know,
I am with you 1,000%. I also think you can punt in this game and still win.
Exactly.
And, this is not an offense that you're saying, oh, they're going to put up 45, so I'm in trouble. I think you can punt and win.
And second half adjustments are going to be the key to the game. So it's going to depend. This can be a completely different game in the second half than the first half. But on another note, how about a little self-scouting? Put yourself in Pete Carroll's shoes, offense, defense. How would you attack us?
I would run the bleep right at him.
Yeah, that's your strength.
I mean, this run defense has been really good for the bulk of the second half of the season, but it's had its hiccups. It had a hiccup with Justin Forsett a couple weeks ago, and I think you saw in that game the hiccup in part led to or was in combination with an athletic quarterback and those boots, and you have that even more so in this game with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. So I would run it, and you got to have ultimate trust in Wilson. He looks like he makes the perfect decision every time. When he pulls it, he goes for like 40.
Yeah, so, I see a lot of read option.
I'm scared to death of Chandler Jones getting sucked down and getting sucked into the trap.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be? Is it going to be Collins, or do you think Hightower is going to be the person that's going to be marrying Wilson? Do you think it's going to be marrying him all the time, or is it just going to be depends on the situation?
I don't know if it'll be all the time, and I don't because I don't know. Well, I mean, I suppose you could move Collins around to follow him, but.
That's curious. That's somewhat problematic.
Yeah, but. And I think that's different things too. The whole spy thing to me is more on scrambles than read option. And I think Andy's point on read option is the one that I worry about with Chandler Jones and Ninkovich. And Jones is the guy that I think lacks discipline at times with the coming off the edge. But That's a flat running play. So it's not
right.
That's not a spy situation.
Nope.
It's not the same thing.
So
that's where he worries
situation.
Me.
Exactly. It's just keeping on. You know,
that's where he worries me. And you know, in terms of the planned runs, and I do think that the run defense looked better at times down the stretch, and was to the point where I was sort of not worried about it anymore. And then in the playoffs, I started worrying about it a little bit more.
They might need some help from the secondary.
Do you think we'd be able to counter
it? When it comes to that, like Chung, I mean, Revis has made some nice tackles.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
against the run.
That's a all-in type play. Your safeties McCourty. And your linebackers and your corners, that's a team defense. That's team defense on straight gives to Marshawn Lynch because of the way he runs and can be in the secondary. And there are no assumed tackles against Marshawn Lynch. I think I'm guessing Bill has put together enough of a highlight package of some of those truly runs.
All 11.
And you need to be flying to the ball. And just on the Ninkovich thing, he was really, really confident when I talked to him on Saturday about the read option. You know, I've been running this a lot. I have confidence that I can read it because I asked about, you know, it takes away some of your aggressiveness trying to tackle Lynch when you're making sure you don't get sucked in. And he seems really confident. I'm confident in him as the veteran, not as confident in Chandler Jones.
All right, thanks, Dave, for that call. It's 3:30 now, local
banging
time.
Through this.
Oh, no, 3:30.
Local time.
Yeah, local time.
5:30.
It says 3:30 right on my phone. 3:30.
5:30
Eastern.
Oh, okay.
3:30 local.
Is your laptop messed up?
This isn't my laptop. That's the problem.
Oh, so what does it say?
3:30.
Oh.
Because he was telling me, I'm not changing it on mine. And I go, that won't mess you up. And he goes,
so
no.
I look down at this laptop, and then I realize, oh, this isn't my laptop. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Another hour of PFW in Progress coming up.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Well, Andy, I thought you had a read.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you were going to set the table. But I will say, hey, fans, think the Patriots are going all the way? Prove it. Tweet your vote using hashtag WhosGonnaWin to put your Super Bowl 49 prediction on the map. Then visit WhosGonnaWin.com to see the fandom of the entire nation. Verizon, powering fandom with the most powerful network.
Good, Andy.
I'm a bad at those.
Helping our friends at Verizon. Oh, you do a lot of reads, do you?
I'm big in the read game.
Do you?
Gerard Mayo's involved with that.
That's right. He is. All right, we're
What's
back.
What's faster than a Gerard Mayo blitz?
Yeah.
Pretty much anything.
Is those spots now?
I think he might be, yeah, sort of too. They didn't, you know, really hit a home run with their choices.
Yeah, well.
Gerard Mayo at Media Day, though.
Was he?
Yeah. He was? Yeah, I saw him.
He was there.
I didn't see anything except, like, armpits and shoulders.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like... All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at Patriots.com. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and... All up to the cheese state, sure. Tiff in Wisconsin. Hey, Tiff.
Hey, guys. I've been wanting to call for, like, the last two seasons, but I thought I'd get too emotional and cry.
I was wondering where you were.
Where? What happened to you?
How do you give us up?
Well, I changed careers, and then my mother got sick.
Oh.
Had gastric cancer and died.
Oh. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
It took an ugly
Now we understand.
So, I listen all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I listen all the time. So.
Thank you for that.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to call in the day that Fred made that comment about Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
Not having the deer in headlights.
Right. That he looked like he knew what he was doing on the sideline, right, to me. Yeah.
I live among Packer fans, and I got to tell you, that's just not true.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing.
He's not good at when things aren't going well. So I was very disappointed that we lost to the Packers. I thought my disappointment was just as bad as it was in 07. I was just really upset about that because I really hate Rodgers.
You hate him? What makes you hate him so much?
Comportment.
I hate Rodgers too, Tiff. I'm with
you. I think Paul was right. His comportment. He's
Thank you.
He's a jerk.
Oh,
he really he's kind of like Cutler, except he wins.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
You're not buying the whole discount double check thing.
He's talented. No. Unlike Cutler, he's
That's
good.
That's funny. He's Cutler, but he wins.
I think if you
but I think they're similar people. I agree with
you. Yeah, he's a jerk, I think.
All right.
Okay.
But people up there love him, right?
Oh, well, here's the thing: they did not like him for
Is that right?
Oh. Well, but was like that? Him for the but Tiff, Paul and I don't like him.
Well, but Tiff, are you sure that wasn't just because
he's not Brett Favre?
Wasn't Brett Favre.
Well,
he hadn't won
a
Super Bowl.
Of it because of the way Brett Favre left. However, after Brett Favre left and went to Minnesota, I know of a number of Packer fans that still wouldn't cheer for the Packers, even when Brett Favre went to the Vikings.
Are you sure you live in Wisconsin?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And you want to hear something crazy? Jeremy was invited to a combine at where the Packers practice.
Oh, this is your son, right? Yeah.
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 He's really, dude. I gotta send Andy some YouTube videos. Though.
Yes, please do.
Okay. But I only thing on my I have a luxury SUV that I'm very proud of, and the only thing I have on it is a Patriot magnet. And when we went up there, someone, a Packer backer, a cheesehead, removed it from my car.
Oh, see, that's not right.
What a
douche. It just made me hate them just that much more.
You should.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's not right. All right.
Yeah, but well, I heard you guys talking about Bill and Wes Welker.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but Bill asked Welker, I guess when Julian Edelman ran back a punt, he asked him if he had heard of whoever that guy is that Lou Gehrig replaced.
Yeah, Wally Pipp.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that was insight to their relationship.
Hmm.
I don't think Bill, I mean, I think he was joking, but I think he really wasn't joking. I don't think he really liked Wes Welker's how he competes.
Right.
And I think he saw Julian as the one who competes all the time.
I don't think that's ridiculous. It's weird because Welker wasn't
Thanks,
Edelman.
Tiff.
He was a nobody, worked his way, blah, blah, blah.
And the Patriots went and got him.
But I think at some point, I don't think it's ridiculous to say that Bill didn't really care for Welker. I don't know when that started and when it happened, but I don't think he loved
But it's a funny dynamic because Bill obviously liked what he saw in Welker as a Dolphin.
Right.
And said, you know what, this guy, he can't keep beating us all the time. We have to bring him on our team. And he did good things for this team.
Actually, I probably do know
and then
what
it's,
happened.
He
asked
great.
For $40 million.
Until the day he left, he did great things for this team.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think it had anything to do with that conversation on the sideline
no.
of the Philadelphia
no.
exhibition game. I think that Wes Welker had a hard time
conforming,
suppressing his personality. He did not like having to do that, and I think it periodically caused problems in the locker room between him and Bill. And I think that's why their relationship was not. I don't think it was adversarial, but I don't think it was as warm and fuzzy as you would think it would be. Because I think what Andy said is largely true. You know, you would think this is a guy that came from nothing, and Bill saw it and brought all of this production out of them.
Because there's a
that
guy
they would be two peas in a pod, but they weren't.
Because there's a difference between a guy like Mike Vrabel, who known ball buster,
right,
could get away with busting Bill's chops, I think, and Bill wouldn't take it to heart from what little we've heard about that kind of thing. Whereas the impression I get is that if Welker were to do something like that, it might be taken the wrong way.
Yeah, and I don't know if Vrabel ever busted Bill's balls. I mean, he'd bust balls of a guy who had a stroke.
But I could see that happening. Well, I could see Vrabel busting chops with Bill and it not being a big deal.
He busted Bill.
He did in meetings and stuff, according to some of the stories that we've heard.
Yeah.
One legendary, so.
Yep.
You gonna share or is it?
It's about BJ's.
No, it's,
it's not the place you buy the big wholesale store.
So
I'll pass on that.
But they had a good relationship. Yeah.
Who?
Vrabel and Bill Belichick.
Right up until he traded him.
Well,
when that relationship went south.
Let's go to Ryan in Arizona. Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
He's in Arizona.
Yeah.
We're in Arizona.
Oh, he's outside. He's waving. No, I'm only kidding.
Are you by the pool?
Yeah. No, I don't swim a lot. I'm not a swimmer.
We were only kidding anyway.
We weren't being serious.
It's good to have
Well, then it's good you live in the desert.
What?
It's good you live in the desert if you're not a swimmer.
Yeah.
You're not a lot of things.
Yeah.
What is going on, Ryan? Right. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to get your thoughts together. All right. What's going on?
Well, I just want to I've been hearing a lot of people talk about. I've heard reporters talk about Bobby Wagner. I've heard people talk about Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower. But I mean, my question is what do you guys think about the impact of Akeem Ayers? I mean, because he seems very athletic to me, and I personally think why waste Jamie Collins on Russell Wilson? I mean, I think you could double spy Wilson with Akeem Ayers and Patrick Chung. I think that would give you more of a chance of stopping Beast Mode. So, what do you guys think of that?
Why would taking away two players from your defense give you a better chance to stop Marshawn Lynch? If you wanted to devote two players to stop Wilson when you only need one.
Yeah, see, I think the more you can go man-on-man and have individual assignments, the better chance you have of stopping Lynch. You know?
And I think that they feel like stopping Lynch is an 11-man job.
Right.
That's the way they've talked. They talked last night like that here at the hotel, and I heard a lot of that again today. They don't think that you're gonna live long if you're putting guys in one-on-one matchups with Marshawn Lynch and expecting to get him to the ground.
So are we expecting this to be more of a base defense game? I mean, because they've been primarily a sub team. They've primarily been a 4-2.
You know, it's the first anyone ever put it, believe it or not, in those words. But now that you say it, I say yes. Yeah.
Because, I mean, part of the reason I was asking is because Ayers wasn't playing quite a bit when Collins and Hightower are healthy.
Right.
Your front, when Jones comes back, is Jones and
Chandler Jones came back, period.
Right.
Ayers hasn't played
so
much. If
you're going to be more of a true hey, Fred Kirsch is on TV, flapping his gums.
Yes. Michael Robinson.
Oh. No,
oh,
you
there
were
I
there.
Am. Yeah, there I am. Yeah.
No, Fred, you're not the guy in the middle of the screen who's being focused on NFL Network.
But you know, if you're going to be a base 4-3, then yes, that probably would mean more playing time for Ayers. Although, actually, what's his name played quite a bit last week. Jonathan Casillas was actually.
Yeah, I have a question for you with regard to the base. I thought they played.
It's all about the base.
A little bit more against Baltimore, and it didn't go well.
No nickel.
I think they've been better stopping the run out of that sub look that they were using for the bulk of the year than they have been out of
big
base.
Big nickel? You want to go big nickel?
And I wonder if maybe that. Because Baltimore, they were base a lot in that game.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well with Justin Forsett. So I wonder if maybe they want to try to stay away from that.
So what are you proposing?
Just sticking with the defense that's been the best. And
but with an extra safety on the field? Maybe a Harmon?
Yeah.
Harmon look?
Maybe.
We don't want to go all extreme and go Tavon.
Whichever you want.
Well, Tavon would be the extreme because he's that linebacker build.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Let's see, Nick and Somerset.
Oh, by the way, Alan Branch was at Media Day.
Yes, I did. I saw him.
Any
yes.
rumors were mm-hmm. percolating that he wasn't.
No, I saw him. Yep. Looking happy, looking fine. Yep.
Nick and Somerset, glad you made it to the gig. I'm in Northern California, and it's a 12-hour ride out. Would you say it's worth it, or stay at home, eat too much, and get better coverage?
Yes, all of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and financial is a big
yeah.
part of it. If you have the money to buy, you know, $1,500
tickets. If you can do everything first class, you do it.
Right.
But, you know, we just came from Phoenix, and
it's
Tuesday, and it's gridlock now. In a couple days, it's going to be absolutely a madhouse.
I definitely recommend people going to a Super Bowl, experiencing it once, if you can. I don't recommend, like, mortgaging your future or, no. like, emptying your savings to do it.
Yeah, like all those guys from Green Bay did in 96.
Right.
Right.
The ones you would still be beating on if your brother didn't
right.
pull you.
It is right. an interesting experience if you can do it, just being around the city and just all the stupid stuff. Like, I'm fall for these things. Did you see the big football? There was, like, this massive, like, 15-foot-tall football made. Just the big letters.
The giant right, the Roman numerals.
Roman numerals.
Right.
I mean, there's something to say you've been there, but if you have to drive 12 hours and you don't really have the money, then I would stay home and watch the Super Bowl.
Nick also says regarding the game, if you had the choice of shutting down the run completely, including Wilson, and letting Wilson take his shots through the air versus yep. their normal yes. flexible defensive scheme, which would you choose?
Yeah.
B.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. To me, if they can eliminate the explosive plays in the run, completely disheartening when they occur, and give the secondary a chance to make a play or two in man coverage, that seems to make the best opportunity for taking advantage of their mistake. We all agree with that, I think.
Yeah,
right?
And I do think that you should be able to keep this offense largely in check.
Was that a man coverage question?
Yeah.
Because man coverage is the one concern any time with a mobile quarterback is they run you off and he runs right behind you.
Right.
And all of a sudden he's got a 35-yard
true.
Game, flips the field.
That's true.
I'm going to throw some terms on there.
Cliches. Deb from New York, although Lynch doesn't always run to the outside as they want to have run option for Wilson, but I have a feeling Seahawks will scheme for Lynch to run outside. Run outside is big issue. We have a tendency to stuff the middle with Wilford, Jones, and Salinga, which may leave us very susceptible outside. What do you guys think? No, I mean, that's what the job is, to stuff the inside. Right. Force them to run outside.
Well, I mean, force them to run outside, and Jones force them to run inside, and then
right.
they can't run
well,
anywhere.
That's the idea. Those guys have to do their job, too.
It's called run fits.
Yeah, I mean, if Salinga and Alan Branch and Wilford are doing their job, the only place they're going to be able to run is to the outside, and then you hope that...
Really, if you're playing with a good base and you have a pad level where it needs to be, the fits should all take care of themselves in the run.
Yeah. Unless you're scraping for, you know...
So is that good? Is that good?
That was good.
You said it real good. You said it real good.
Joe in Kansas City, some people want to test Sherman's health while others are weary of throwing to the right side of the field. Why not run to Sherman's side and see if he wants anything to do with shedding blocks or tackling? He's going to need two arms to do that successfully. Run at Sherman.
Okay.
I think they'll run both sides. I mean, Sebastian Vollmer, I think, has been terrific
yes.
for a long time. You know, yes. 8-10 games, whatever. You know, a yes. little bit of a slow start for him, but he really picked it up. I could see them running to the right.
And both those guys, I do think,
but I don't think
bear
you,
watching.
I don't think
tackles.
You run to the right. Because there's a cornerback over there who's got a bad elbow and is maybe not a great tackler.
Yeah, not necessarily. But if you can get him, you know, a little more banged up, or if you get Earl Thomas coming in to fill and he, you know, shoulder. I'd be more worried about a shoulder with hitting.
Well, Thomas is the most severe injury
yeah.
anyway. I
mean, but it's also the more likely to be injured by a hit.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
you're hitting.
Especially,
yeah.
yeah.
You can kind of baby your arm.
A lot of these guys tackle with their shoulders. They don't even tackle with
them. Oh, Jesus. We're not going down that road. It is not the offseason.
Here he goes.
Although this is a team that tackles with their arms because they do their rugby tackling.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah. By the way, Beast Mode, he has his own like line of stuff because Earl Thomas was wearing Beast Mode sunglasses.
Is that right? Hams in Toronto. I hope Arizona is treating you well. I'm excited to finally be talking about football. I think I've had enough balls testicle jokes the last week to last a lifetime. Let's retire those forever, please. Have to say Fred's Je suis Belichick remark last week nearly made me spit out my coffee. Thanks all the various gods for you guys and all the PFW fans. It's been a weird week to be a Patriots fan, and after all, it's impossible to have an us-against-the-world mentality all by yourself. Hashtag strength in numbers. Just one other thing. I want to call out the fraud that is Andy Hart.
Uh-oh.
I am home from work today, so I just listened to his interview with 96.3, The Big Jab. I was expecting, you know, Andy, in other words, nonstop jokes about Gronk Schlong and Katy Perry's vajayjay. Instead, I got a thoughtful, informative, sober professional who actually did that rarest of things in sports journalism, be objective, even-handed, and rational. I was like, maybe I clicked on the wrong link. But no, it was Andy, all right, and nary a fat joke nor boobs reference to be found. Which leads me to believe one of Andy's two personas is phony. Either that or there is more going on in that big head than we give him credit for. Well played, Mr. Draft. Well played.
I'm versatile. I can do it all. I'm like Jamie Collins.
The Just Big Jab. Me. That's Andy's go-to station. The Big Jab.
That is a lucrative radio career for
oh,
me.
Oh, wow.
as John Dennis would say. Did they make it out? Anybody know?
Dennis and Callahan. I mean,
Minahan and Callahan.
Minahan and Callahan are here. Dennis.
Well, I knew he wasn't coming.
He made it into the show, though. I'll give him that.
Well, he stayed, I think, at a hotel.
No, but he. Oh, okay. Whatever. He got there.
Yeah, I think he stayed at a hotel down the street.
Hotels must have been a good business last night.
Yeah, I know they were offering to put up a lot of the nurses at Mass General.
Yeah, I know Zoe sent his family to a hotel just so they wouldn't have to. He wouldn't have to worry about it.
It's, you know,
trees blowing and stuff. Yep. The kids were in the pool, he said, and it's just easier. It takes the stress off of everyone.
The kids? Oh, in the hotel.
In the hotel pool. Yeah. So, like, instead
not,
of
not dropping the kids off.
Such an idiot. Pat Nagawam's writing in. Hey, Pat. I'm calling.
Hello.
Pat, how you
hey,
making
Pat.
Out?
Dyslexia.
Must be nice not to shovel and snowblow, boys.
Yes, it
can
is.
You, can you make sure you take care of my wife?
Sure, I will.
I think he meant the driveway.
Yeah,
not exactly take care of his wife.
You could take her whatever way you want.
You satisfy her any way you need.
How about I take care of both of them?
He'll plow the driveway, then he'll plow your wife.
Oh,
wow.
So I wanted to, you know, make...
He's going to hit you.
Give my two cents on the game, and then I'll...
Blow the driveway. Your wife will blow him.
Oh, God.
Give, two bold statements.
You always take it a step too far.
Sorry, go ahead, Pat.
This, you know, this game, much like any big playoff game, comes down to the battle of the line of scrimmage. You know, I think if as long as we're able to open up some holes for Blunt, that last email or one of the last few ones made a good side, you know. I mean, made a good point, you know, run on Richard Sherman's side because he's obviously banged up. We're able to do that, get a big chunk of yards. I think we'll be all right. And I think if we, you know, we don't have to get eight sacks or even, you know, like a couple sacks. I think as long as we get enough pressure on Russell Wilson throughout the entire game, kind of like we did in the AFC Championship game on Monday, I think we'll be all right.
Okay. Yeah, You know, everybody says, oh, you want to keep him in the pocket. You don't want him to let him get outside. But you don't want him to be comfortable in the pocket.
No.
It's one of those things where you want to make him move a little, but not so much where he moves past you.
Those walls have to be closing in on him.
Right, but he can't break free of the wall.
Right.
It's uncomfortable, but not free.
It's a controlled rush.
And it is not, a controlled
and
rush.
And this is not a good offensive line either.
No.
It's not, especially not in pass protection. They can run with Marshawn Lynch a little bit, but I think even then he's one of those guys that does more of it on his own. I don't think this is a very good offensive line.
No.
I think it's one that you can get pressure without necessarily having to do anything special to do it.
And the other flaw with the whole idea, oh, we'll run right at Richard Sherman, I'm not sure you want Blunt running to the outside. If he runs into Richard Sherman at the second level, you know, 8-10 yards downfield, that's fine. But you're not running sweeps with LeGarrette Blunt to try to just run over Richard Sherman.
K.L. Lewis writes in, first-time emailer, hello. I'd like to know, would any of you guys be surprised if the Patriots blow out the Seahawks next Sunday?
I would not be.
No one never thought.
I will be.
I will be.
No one never
thought. I
think
he means no one ever thought the Seahawks would blow out Denver. Detroit also was the number one defense before they met us. Dallas and San Diego both handled Seattle with their tight end. And guess what? We've got the best in the business in tight end and Gronk.
But neither one of those teams blew Seattle out, though. They beat them.
Yeah.
If you're asking me if I'm going to be shocked if the Patriots win the game, no. But
blowing out,
yeah,
I'd be kind of shocked.
Surprised. I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, elated. But
obviously,
I don't see the, you know, but is there a scenario in which they could?
Of course.
Yes. I mean,
yeah.
Minus fluky crazy stuff.
Well, is
no.
it fluky yeah. if Russell Wilson throws picks? Like he did last week.
Yeah, if he did like last week.
I mean, if you got a plus four in the turnover ratio, then like
blowouts.
That's
likely.
What happened at Denver. Yeah.
Last Patriots
year.
I mean, are not going to kick field goals in the red zone. They're not going to stay six. You know, it's not going to stay close. They will be up 14 or 21 nothing in that mm-hmm. scenario, and it'll be game set match.
Yeah, because Seattle's not going to have the weapons to come back in that game.
You'd hope not.
If they get down by three touchdowns,
they probably 24
won't. Points, that's...
But they, you know, they got mojo. They got something special.
People calling in to remind us that there's a big pep rally in Arizona on Saturday at Toso's Sports Bar and Grill, 2401 West Union Hills Drive in Phoenix. It's from 12 noon until 10 p.m. So big,
that's a lot of drinking.
Big rally.
A 10-hour rally?
12 noon to 10.
Yeah.
You got times to fade, rally.
Can you imagine how many buffalo wings I could eat?
Yeah.
I would die.
I'd like to know when the good part is. because that is a long time. But that's the Arizona Fan Club is sponsoring that.
Oh, nice.
And I think the Patriots Charitable Foundation is involved somewhere.
Oh, nice. So head on out to Toso's.
Toso's.
Give me the address again.
I already switched off.
He's moved on.
Toso's in
But
Phoenix.
I'm sure if you go on the Patriots fan tailgate page on Facebook.
I think it was on some boulevard, maybe West.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jacob Very in helpful. Colorado, will Arrington shadow Baldwin? We know he's pretty fast, and I can see him matching up well with Arrington, especially coming off a great game against T.Y. Paul?
Well, I mean, I would expect Revis. Who's Revis covering in that scenario? Curse?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games where the Seahawks' individual weapons don't scare anybody.
Yeah.
Nope.
Right.
So I think you don't necessarily have to go out of your way, but Belichick will deem who he thinks is, and I think Baldwin is the.
But he might not.
I think Baldwin is the most.
Maybe this is a
weapon,
more left-right, some zone.
It could be. It could be. And you made the point about Russell Wilson's mobility might limit your snaps in pure man because of that. But
zone it up.
Baldwin to me is the best guy, and
yes.
I would want Revis on the best guy.
But is the best guy good enough to beat you if you just play it straight, zone? Left,
no,
right.
I think that both of those guys are pretty good receivers, that their numbers are just average because they play in an offense that doesn't throw the ball
right.
all that much. You know, I think that Russell Wilson attempted 130 fewer passes than Brady did. That's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot of passes that
like
Brady threw.
Four games.
So
a quarter of a season.
Those guys aren't as productive as some of the other guys around the league, but that doesn't mean they can't play. And I think Baldwin in particular is a pretty decent receiver.
62% of fans on NFL Network would rather have Revis Island than Sherman.
Nice.
If they took a poll from us, that would probably go up. Uh-oh.
Oh, 61. It's dropping.
They checked Gap in. Is closing. They didn't check in with us. It would be up more like 65.
Andrew in Arizona is calling in. Hey, Andrew.
So are we.
Hey, how you guys enjoying this nice Arizona weather?
It's
beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
It's on soon.
When it's yeah, So, listen, I mean, I've been ignoring for the past week all this Deflategate crap on ESPN and NFL Network and all that stuff. And, I mean, I've just been ignoring that, and I've just been doing my best just to try to watch some film of the Seahawks and try to game plan. And let me see what you guys think of this. So I think we should put Revis on Baldwin and stick Browner either on Kirst or Luke Wilson, and we should use Hightower as a QB spy to try to contain Russell Wilson, and we could stick it to Collins and McCourty to cover their tight ends.
Well, I thought you had Browner on Wilson.
Wilson is their tight end.
One of their other tight ends. Sorry about that.
Luke.
I'm not sure I like the matchup of Hightower against Wilson. I think that's a mismatch in favor of Wilson.
I would be all zone. I'm on the record.
Would be,
I think I'd be sticking left-right zone.
They could be doing that.
Mostly
I think Andy,
zone.
You know, we just talked about that. Andy had the point about Russell Wilson and his mobility, and you might not want to play a ton of man in this game because mm-hmm. of that.
Especially since their individual matchups don't really scare you.
Spreads you out, covers the field better, your eyes are in the backfield, you're reacting quicker to coming up. I don't have any fear of necessarily, oh, that's a horrific matchup.
Take your hand away from your mouth.
Was that messing it up?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
What was I doing? Like making
it
echo? I think it's a lot of zone coverage. I really do. I think it makes a lot of sense in this game.
I just think the whole thing is intriguing. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see early in the game how both teams match up against each other, what they decide to do.
Speaking of the left-right man zone, Browner was talking a little bit today. I was asking him about, you know, remember early on everybody, oh, he can't. Ben Volen said you can't move him till you can't move him around. He's got to stay on the one side because that's what he did in Seattle, mm-hmm. and you have to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And he did say it was a little bit difficult early on because of muscle memory. Everything was sort of backwards.
Yeah.
But he said 2-3 weeks in, he felt like he got it. And he feels like he's a better player now because he has
he's more versatile,
moved all over the field. So Ben Volen, yeah, Browner, get it.
Cavell in San Diego. Hey, Cavell.
Silvio?
Silvio in San Diego.
It's Silvio?
How are you, Silvio, our good pal?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. I'm hungry.
You guys Paul touched on it a little bit, what I was calling about, the lines, the offensive and defensive lines. How do the teams match up? And then the second question is the point that you guys just brought up. If you guys play zone, how is Revis going to do on that?
Well, I mean, I think Revis is better, absolutely better at playing flat man. But,
yeah, but he's not.
He's so good that I don't think he's, you know, a bad zone player. There's going to be mixing and matching, I think, in the secondary because of the stuff that we talked about. I don't think there are matchups with Seattle that scream what you have to do because I don't think there's I don't think they have the talent and the depth of their receiving core. As far as the matchups up front, I like the defensive line on both sides better than the offensive line. I like the Seahawks defensive line over the Patriots offensive line, and I like the Patriots defensive front over Seattle's. I don't think that the offensive line for either side is a huge strength. I think the Patriots offensive line is better than Seattle's offensive line. But that said, it's been a periodic problem throughout the season, including at times down the stretch. Now, I thought it struggled a little bit against Baltimore. I thought it was rock solid against Indianapolis. Much different animal, though. Much different opponent that you're going against. It's going to have its hands full on Sunday. I think that's an area that Seattle probably feels like it needs to win and probably expects to win.
All right. Thanks, Cavell, or Silvio. Anthony writes in, what's up, guys? I'm in need of some emotional support from fellow Patriots fans. The last week has been pretty crazy being a Patriot fan living in the heart of Seahawks country. I've been verbally profiled because of wearing my Patriots jersey, flipped off by other drivers for the Patriots sticker on my car, and cyberbullied on social media on many occasions. Some of these Seahawks fans out here are just total a-holes, and probably 90% of them only like football to be accepted and liked. Can you say bandwagon? Anyway, I'll be the happiest person when the Patriots win. Love the show. Go Pats. So just for Anthony, the Patriots need to win this game.
We saw it on the scroll earlier on NFL Network. There's a LeGarrette Blount kind of said that, you know, they're not immortal. They can be beaten about the Seahawks, which is nothing overly bombastic, but it might get played up a little bit. The full quote is actually better and less bombastic. I don't care about them being the top defense. That doesn't bother me. They were good enough to get here, just like we were good enough to get here. They're not immortal. They can be beaten.
Right.
That's a good quote. They were good enough to get here, just like we're good enough to get here, and we'll see who wins.
Right.
It's a good quote.
You know, earlier we were talking about, Robert Kraft kind of being defiant and, you know, doubling down. I think the league has too. Did you see this morning on NFL.com? They took a quote from Tom Brady's father from this GQ article, I guess.
Oh, about,
and so they had New York Times? They had a picture of New York.
It won't end well.
It had a picture of Brady.
Yeah,
Brady's back. And it's Brady's time, and you know
it won't end well
in New England. It's like what are you doing? You know, that's I know what his father would say. First of all, please, Mr. Brady, stop talking to the media. That's my first message. But I also know that he didn't mean it like, oh, you know, Brady's going to have a fight with the organization. He just meant that my son wants to play until he's 70 years old.
Eventually someone's going to tell him he can't play anymore.
Any player with any team.
Tom has been saying that for years.
Right.
When Bill thinks he can win without me or there's someone better than me, I'm not the best quarterback for him, he will move on.
Right.
You know, it's going to happen to everyone. It has happened. It might happen to him. Now, who wrote this? NFL?
It was on NFL.com.
Yeah, NFL.com. It was out of the New York Times. So it was a guy from Newton that was a political writer.
Leibovich wrote the one from the New York Times, but I thought this was the GQ article.
I didn't know there was a GQ article.
That's regardless, though, the NFL.
It was someone on our PR staff told me.
The NFL
was
a huge
tweet
sweeping.
Out with the image that Fred was talking about. With
the NFL tweeted it out.
Because I got that tweet this morning, exactly. Tom Brady Sr., quote, it won't end well.
Yeah. Right.
That was from the New York Times article.
Oh, I thought that was from the NFL.
That
they were basing it off that. But
what's the guy's name? Lieberman?
Mark Leibovich.
Leibovich. Okay. And he's from Newton.
Right.
And he's been trying to talk to Brady for a long time, and suddenly Don Yee offered him up this summer. He spoke to him a couple of times during the course of the year.
And I read the article.
Was here. Yeah, it was.
You know, it was one of those 50,000 word articles.
That could have been 5,000 words and said the same exact
thing. It could have been one of my edit letters.
Yeah. Fred, absolutely. It told every chapter and verse of the entire season, like that broke no new ground at all
right.
throughout the whole story. It just basically.
Yeah, I have a style, a writing style that I want to show off.
Right. Right.
Yeah. What did Eric write?
Oh. Let's see. Joe writes in, new listener this season here in Birmingham, England. I'd like to hear your thoughts on a few things. One, who will the Patriots mainly deploy on Richard Sherman's side of the field and whether Brady will attack him more often than not? So assuming, you know, Sherman just plays his regular side.
He's going to see a lot of input players.
I think
he's not
going to
see one guy, one receiver.
Yeah. So I think they're going to keep him guessing. Two, who is your main pick to be the biggest underdog on the Patriots side and whether some players such as Tim Wright or Jonas Gray will be used effectively in the game by the Patriots? A guy like Tim Wright, we haven't heard from lately.
We haven't. We haven't. He could be a surprise contributor.
Yeah. Yeah. Three, not so much of a question, but I'd really like to get Akeem Ayers involved at the linebacker position. I think he made some great plays earlier in the year, but towards the end of the season, he was deployed more with special teams. Will he be a factor, as I think he could fly under the radar and hurt Wilson and the Seahawks?
Well, it depends what you're doing defensively. Your two choices are play as much sub as you've been playing, and who does he play for? When is he, who's he in for?
That's my question.
Or are you playing more base defense?
Right.
Then I know who's playing for himself.
Right.
Who do you want to put in there? I mean, who do you want to take out of the game for Akeem Ayers?
One of the defensive backs.
So you want to go three defensive backs?
No, usually don't they have a nickel?
No, if you have your front seven, who comes out of the game for Akeem Ayers?
So you
Akeem Ayers' playing time dropped when Chandler Jones returned.
Right.
He's the guy that replaced Akeem Ayers. Now, there's... Like Andy said, there's different things that you could do that Akeem Ayers would be a little bit more of a part of. But, I mean, if you have
not taking, you know, an extra defensive Will back.
Some combination of Will Fork, Salenga, Chris Jones, and Alan Branch. Say two of those four. Mm-hmm. Some
correct.
Combination of those four.
Correct.
Ninkovich and Chandler Jones with Hightower and Collins.
Right.
I mean, someone's got to come off the field.
What if you have Salenga and Will Fork in the middle? You have Jones and Ninkovich on the edges. And then you have that's four. That's your four front.
Right.
And then you have Collins, Hightower, and Akeem Ayers.
So you want to take one of your defensive linemen. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
You want to take one of your defensive linemen off the field. That's fine. You can do that.
You're taking a DB off the field.
Taking a defensive back off the
field. He's going base defense.
Right.
Base 4-3.
No, I know, but
I know what you're saying, Paul.
Yeah, when they played the other day, when they were playing base against Baltimore.
They had three big defensive linemen
out
there.
Yes.
Right.
Because they were playing 3-4.
Right.
I got you. Yeah, that's a 3-4.
And the two of the fours were Jones and
Ninkovich.
Right. Correct.
Right.
Right.
And I don't think think they're going to change from that. Now, I might be wrong on that.
They might not change from that because of the threat of Lynch, and they want bigger bodies in there.
I would think
Ayers is not a bigger body.
And I would think that would be the wiser
But I think action. I think they want to mix bigger bodies with also speed. I think that 4-3 combo might be the way to go. You know?
That's
you don't yell at him when he makes a lot of noise with his microphone.
Yeah, stop that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, I think that's the way to go because you need bodies up close to the line.
I think you need size. I think you have to fight power with power.
Yeah. Size matters.
I think you're going to get run over if you go small.
I think you're right.
By who? Lynch?
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as you don't get run over by the guys blocking, I think you have a chance to tackle Lynch.
Okay. Well,
even if it's Ninkovich and Jones and
Ayers and Hightower and Carlin, you're going to get run over. They're
by who?
The guy's blocking for Marshawn Lynch. That's how they play.
But I thought you said that the offensive line wasn't that good.
It's not that good. But if you have all little guys out there, it doesn't have to be that good.
I don't think they're that little, though. You know,
they're like all like 250 to 270 pound guys.
Yeah, I don't know about having like the big dinosaurs out there that would be work either.
Who's the dinosaur?
Chris
Jones is not a dinosaur.
Branch and Will Fork and Salenga. You know?
Silver Salinga's a dinosaur?
He's not fast.
Okay, well, so now you're talking about speed in terms
I'm trying to mix up both.
Dinosaurs were fast.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Velociraptor.
I'm trying to clog up the middle while keeping some speed.
And also,
we
have no guarantee Chris Jones is playing. I assume he's playing.
Yeah.
He didn't play last week. He's coming off that elbow injury. He's got a little bit of the J.J. Watt
brace. Yeah, I didn't put him in. He's not in my starting lineup.
Well,
he has a starting line.
I don't know if I have
somebody alert Belichick.
I have to submit it by 4 o'clock.
Akeem Harris has been sort of a non-factor defensively since Chandler Jones came back,
yeah.
And I'm not sure that it's going to change this week. It doesn't seem to be a matchup that would call for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Fred, did you catch the PPGS boys up on the big screen at the Super Bowl media day?
No.
We did one of those. We took a photo with Bertrand and the two of us, and then you sent it with a hashtag or something. And the rotation was big.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Big head on a big board.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, here's the DB.
Let's go to Polarco on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Polarco.
That's true. There's a couple up there right now.
Polo.
Polarco.
Polo.
Polarco, are you there?
Polo.
I guess not. Sorry about that.
We're going to have to move on. Yeah. Moving quickly here.
On to the next caller.
Yeah, let's go to Chris in New Brunswick. Hey, Chris.
I'm hungry.
Chris?
Oh,
I think we're having phone
Fred,
issues.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Oh, boy.
He lost connection to the server.
Hold on.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Something's going on here. I don't know if I lost the internet connection.
Speaking of DBs.
Oh, yeah. It's a big DB.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, we hear you now.
So now we got Polarco.
Hello.
Hey, Polarco. What's happening?
So you didn't put me online, right?
No. Fred bungled it. His fat thumb got in the way.
No, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out.
I actually agree with that lady from Wisconsin. I just think that Packers are a little bit overrated. And Aaron Rodgers, I don't like his smirk and how he hobbles his way into people's hearts. I just, like, I just don't get it. And I just... Like the whole MVP thing, like he threw 35 touchdowns, so did a lot of other quarterbacks. Like, that's one of those things. Like, somehow the great Aaron Rodgers has to be the MVP. JJ Watt can't be the MVP. I've heard it all. So,
That wasn't exactly the story. A lot of people think JJ Watt can't be the MVP because his team didn't make the postseason. And as a defensive player, you're fighting an uphill battle as it is. It kind of goes to the quarterback, Rodgers' best quarterback. So there was a little more depth to the argument than you just glossed over.
Yeah,
that said, I would go with JJ Watt.
Is he the best quarterback this year, this season I'm talking about? Because he has had few spectacular games. That I will give him. But he has had some bad games just like every other quarterback.
So who was the best quarterback this year? Who was the best quarterback this year?
I don't know. I just feel like there are four or five guys who are kind of like tied this year.
Okay.
They've all thrown, like, in 30 touchdowns, somewhere 7-8 interceptions, like, you know, in that range.
I don't hate your idea. I was a proponent of J.J. Watt winning the MVP, but there are some people that believe that he didn't make the playoffs, he's not a quarterback, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think you should punish the player, though, for your team not making the playoffs.
I also think it's ridiculous they didn't make the playoffs. He was in the hunt for the postseason in the final week for a team that picked number one overall and didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I would go with Watt for my MVP pick, but if you ask me who I thought had the best year as a quarterback, as much as I hate him, I think it would be Aaron Rodgers. I think he had the best year.
And as far as Marshawn Lynch is concerned, I think we can contain him. We have contained him before, right? In Buffalo, they had a decent offensive line. Like, their offensive line wasn't good. Seahawks' offensive line isn't that good.
He's a different player now than he was in Buffalo. He's had, like, four straight 1,400-yard, 1,300-yard seasons.
Yeah. That's like saying Darrell Revis isn't anything that Seattle should fear because when they played him with Tampa Bay, he wasn't any good.
No, that I get. But I'm just saying that the amount of time Bill Fork's talking about this guy, I think they're prepared for him. That's what I feel.
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
They better be prepared for him because that's what the Seattle offense is all about.
Mike Tyson said that.
All right, guys, you have a good day.
All right.
Thanks, Polarco.
I feel like he feels like we fought him and he's not happy.
He's not listening to me.
Yeah, well, they sometimes that happens.
And I wasn't either. I'm just trying to get back.
I know. We were just filling time until you could run the show again.
The internet went out. Chris in New Brunswick. It's probably a master plan by the Seahawks. Chris in New Brunswick.
How you doing, Fred?
Good.
Good. Still stuck up here in the snow. We got hit with the same storm that hit down in New England. We got about 2 feet of snow out there in blizzard conditions. It's pretty cold up here, so.
How many kilometers is that?
How many kilometers what?
Oh, don't listen to it. Just continue with your point.
I knew I would just stop him dead. Oh,
for the love of God.
It's pretty exciting to move on past this Deflategate. I watched Mr. Kraft last night come out and tell everyone to check his and see if they were deflated, but Anyways, and another thing is, I knew we were going to go to the Super Bowl this season. My wife told me in July that she was expecting, and I said, and she told me that she'd be about February, and I said, well, as long as you can avoid February 1st, we're all good. Because I don't know what I'd rather, you know, either go to the hospital and watch the baby born or...
Oh, man.
Come on.
I'll give you a mulligan on that
I
one.
I know.
Chris.
I'm just teasing.
All right.
I mean,
football, you know, rules so over that easy. All right. Thanks, Chris. Let's go to...
just moves on.
He read. Like, some people he'll let talk forever, and then the guy's got a decent story, and you just ditch him.
Big Al's on the line. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, how's it going out there?
Good.
Tremendous, Albert.
Coming to you for you're calling from your studio, and your sounds like you have professional equipment there.
It's a great landline. It does.
Anyways, listen, three cheers for Robert Kraft. This leaking by the NFL is not only, you know, just wrong on its face, but very cynical. If you notice, they've leaked to Mortensen at ESPN.
Right.
They leaked to Jay Glazer at Fox. They don't have to leak to NBC because they're already laughing all the way to the bank based upon what the number's going to be like on Sunday based upon the leaks and the fact that it's also a pretty good game. You look at the one network that hasn't been the recipient of any leaking. Looks like CBS to me. And which one of those networks do you think is most closely associated with the New England Patriots?
Well, that's true. Yeah, CBS.
Kind of funny they haven't been receiving any of these leaks. Know what I mean?
Well, maybe they have, and they just chose not to go with them. I don't know. I just think your first thing I agree with. The leaks are ridiculous. It's just
they are ridiculous.
It needs to stop. Yep.
They leaked Josh Gordon's drug test. Now, I'm not in love with Josh Gordon, but that got leaked to the Associated Press. You don't leak that type of stuff. I mean, that's just. Yeah. I mean, when does it stop? That's medical. You could say that's medical information. That's,
yeah.
I mean, it would come out eventually.
This is the way the world works.
But that's
it's not just
this
one.
It should be leaked either.
That's how the news works. There's leaks everywhere in all forms of life, and that's just the way it works.
Well, I don't blame the news organizations. You never blame the leak-e. You blame the leaker, okay? They can
right.
guard their information better.
Plug their leaks.
They've up their own crap.
I right. hear you.
Yep.
I don't blame the media for running with
no,
it. That's
absolutely
their job.
Not. No.
Yep. I blame the organization for not policing up their stuff. You know, that was, forgive me for making this personal, but.
Especially you know, when, like, you're in this collective, and, you know, which the NFL is, and you're leaking about one of the members of your collective. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, there you go. It kind of makes you wonder, you know, what their agenda is.
Yeah.
You know, I did, you know, media relations in the Air Force for 23 years, you know, and, you know, sometimes stuff would end up in the paper that you wish wasn't there, and some higher ranking guy would say, you know, that's the fault of the Washington Post or the Atlanta paper. No, it's not. It's our fault. We need to police up our stuff. We got to prevent the leaks from happening. You can't blame the
right.
newspaper for running with the stuff.
So, loose lips sink ships.
I do not blame Kraft for being upset. And, you know, maybe he just had to say he got was on that airplane when the Glazer thing came out. And he just, you know, he had to just, you know, vent, you know, when he hit the ground. And, I guess he kind of walked it back a little bit today, but still, I understand yeah. totally his frustration and may not make a dime's worth of difference, but I think he had to do it, and I'm glad he did it.
Yeah, and I think the fans needed to hear that. Thanks, Big Al.
We should give this, since I gave the earlier poll, there was a new poll on NFL Network, who's going to win the game. 87% picked the Seahawks.
Right.
Now, of course, it's during Seahawks Media
right.
Day
people
coverage,
who are watching
so most
are
people
Seahawks.
Are Seahawks fans. But
right. Did they do that during the Patriots?
I don't know. I wasn't
watching. I
didn't
see it.
Because it'd be interesting to see if it was that much of a difference or if it was closer, which then would tell you that probably more people do think that the Seahawks are going to win.
What is the where are we at with the line lately?
I don't
still
know.
A pick 'em?
Last I heard it was pick 'em, but I haven't seen my papers.
How many Super Bowls have been pick 'ems?
I don't have the answer to that question.
ATS, maybe. Paul.
I don't know.
I mean, not. It doesn't feel like a lot of them go into the game as a pure pick'em.
Paul's fading.
He really is. He's bringing nothing
he's
to the table.
He's
right
just
now.
Like,
I don't have the answer.
No, but overall,
should I pontificate for 5 minutes and tell you? Well, you know, there was a couple of games that opened up.
Paul's fading. Eric's like watching people out the window.
Kevin Collins says Patriots by 2.
Okay, all right, Patriots by 2.
Wow.
So it's not a pick'em.
Patriots
favorite.
Just the opposite direction.
So 87% of those on that poll are wrong.
Darnell's in New York. Hey, Darnell.
Hey, y'all can hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
What's going on, Fred, Paul?
You know what's going on. Andy,
I mean, listen, man, I'm only calling because I don't want to get fined, you know.
Right.
But did y'all hear the comments that I think it was Bennett, he said how Tim would slap Soda around or something like that and all this other crazy stuff.
I did not hear that.
Yeah. Bennett, that's his name, the defensive lineman, right?
Bennett? Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett.
Yeah. Yep. Michael Bennett, yeah, he was saying how Cam would, like, slap Soda around and all this other crazy stuff. And Baldwin basically said, oh, well, since I'm going to be on Regis Island, I better get my hat and my shades and see what I could do and all this stuff. It was a pretty good media day. Pretty good media day.
Yeah, I thought it was a good media day, except for the facilities, but I thought both teams had a little bit of flavor and nothing too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. What you think, scheme-wise, defense-wise? I really catch on the show because I know it's a time difference. For some reason, I thought y'all would be, you know, it's regular time slow, but I forgot y'all in Phoenix, so.
And plus, we're changing it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow, by the way, we're at 2 o'clock Eastern.
All right, cool.
2 o'clock Eastern tomorrow and Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What you guys think of defense-wise, scheme-wise, like what we're going to use, how we're going to play them?
Well, we've been talking about that for a while. I don't know if he just turned in, but I think they're going to go base 4-3, you know.
Zone.
And not in a nickel.
We were talking about playing zone.
Oh, you're going to man it up in the back end?
Man it up in the back end.
Dude, that scares me.
Right.
Run it off.
No.
Run for fun.
Listen. I think you got to man it. I think you got to beat your – you got to win your area. Everybody's going to win their area.
What if you don't?
Then they're going to make some plays.
You think
– then you got to adjust at halftime.
Yeah.
You think they're going to keep a spy on Wilson?
I don't think so. I don't really think so. You know,
the more I think about it, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Before I go, I just want to let y'all know, like, I'm a football head, and I listen to all the podcasts, and I just want to say that this podcast is the best, hands down. Serious. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Patriots fan. I'm saying it because, like, I really listen to all, like, football podcasts, and nothing compares to y'all. I just want to let y'all know.
I appreciate that, and I'd be interested to know what do you think makes us – what appeals to you the most about listening to the show?
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. When you talk about swamp ass. And,
well, that's true. So, yeah, we do get into kickball. Some swamp ass. Yeah,
I want to hear someone say, I never heard anybody break it down like you guys do.
We swamp ass, but JJ, we get into it all. Yeah.
And it was one time, I think, Fred, you compared somebody's statistics to like a porn catalog or something like that.
I might have. I don't recall, but I'm not saying I didn't.
This podcast is like no holds ball. So it's like, I love it. Like, y'all make my week go, y'all understand, like, what y'all do. So, I really appreciate y'all.
Well, thank you, Darnell. We appreciate the kind words. Let's take one more call. Felix is in Texas. Hey, Felix.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Kat?
Hey, first time I call in, man, I'm always working, and I just tuned into the podcast right now. I'm like, oh, they are live. I'm going to give them a call real quick.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't get fired.
No.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm already. So anyway, so I was calling to say, you guys do an awesome job, man. You guys are funny. Yeah. And anyways, man, I think the X factor on the offensive side of the ball is going to be the guy that pisses Andy off. That's been pissing him off all year. And that's going to be Shane Vereen, man. I think we can control the trenches, man. You know, those defensive linemen, I got to try to get upfield as fast as they can. Get a couple of screens in there with Shane Vereen, man. Come out to through.
Well, that'd be the player that we all hoped he would be.
And
I won't rule it out. I'd be happy to cheer his way into free agency with a performance like that. He intrigues you at times, and if he can have one of those breakout games, you know, the Houston game a couple years ago where he's an impact player, it'd be great to see it on Super Bowl Sunday.
I just think the linebackers are too fast.
Probably.
I don't like
funniest thing you guys have said all year long, and it happened in the post game show after the Colts game, I believe. And it was when Fred Kirsch came on and said that he got congratulated after the game, and Andy was like, "What did you do?"
For what? And,
man, that knocked me off my shoes. I swear I couldn't stop laughing at that, but you know what, guys? It's a real privilege to be able to call you guys. You know, I'm really surprised you guys were on this late. So I'm like, you know what, let me give them a call real quick, man. Much love from Houston, Texas, baby.
All right, thanks, Felix.
Appreciate it, Felix.
All right, and we'll be on tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to keep my time zones straight here. So tomorrow and Thursday, 2 p.m. I want to thank everyone for listening. Now, is Bob Soucy also on tomorrow? Yeah, what time is he on, Kevin?
Four.
Okay, so Bob Soucy at 4 p.m. Eastern and Playbook before us at noon Eastern. So we have a full slate tomorrow. You can start listening at noon Eastern and catch all 6 hours of original Patriots radio coming to you live from the team hotel in Arizona. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening today.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.